happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Saskatchewan, it's another week, and we're back inside the Sports Cage. Welcome on this Monday, April 29th. It's Barney Shankaruk and Maz McFly with you on this Monday. Alan's got things on the Ivory Keys over there. So we got a lot to get to, and I have some apologies to make as we get into the NHL. We got NHL, we got SJHL talk, we got Western Hockey League talk. We have a brand new national champion from Saskatchewan, the Regina Rebels. We're going to start the show with that in a bit. We're hopefully going to get striker Zablocki on the line and meet with us. Farhan Lalji's coming in. CFL draft, NHL talk there. Eric Francis is back. Of course, he knows everything when it comes to the NHL. So we think. And then Darian Durant Doubles is back for his segment starting the 5 o'clock hour. And Maz, Darian, we are putting him to work today.
Oh, CFL draft tomorrow. We said, Darian, you can probably break down. And we had a conversation, and he had said, as the quarterback, you need to know every other position on the field, not only on offense and defense. And so I said, okay, you're the fantasy general manager. You're going to tell us what every team is going to need in 2024 to be successful, including the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And it'll be interesting to see what he says today and then what will happen tomorrow with J.O. and the scouting staff and what they come away with to see if they're on. But it's funny, I agree. There is so much going on everywhere in every sport. It's like, okay, so let's... If we're starting NHL, we got a coach firing today. If you're just joining the Sports Cage, Dave Haxtell, Seattle Kraken, pack your... You know what? You're out after three seasons, and I don't know. I never. Is it just me? And I don't know the guy, but just I didn't. I don't. I never. Never like.
He doesn't. He doesn't look super energetic. Maybe energetic the right word. He reminds me of Knobloch behind the Oilers bench. They seem very stoic.
And interchangeable. Like and a lot. When I say Torts, people but you know Torts. You can tell that guy's a head coach of a National Hockey League team. Yeah. Like Torts is ready. He'll bench you or he'll fight you. One of the two.
Yeah. But with he runs a busy garage where they do tire changeovers right now. Torts could get that action done too.
Yeah, so Haxtell, after three seasons, 107, 107 wins, 112 losses, and 27 overtime losses. So it's
crazy. That's a lot of overtime losses.
Dave Haxtell fired earlier today by the Seattle Kraken. You can't be surprised. Last year, did they overachieve? I thought they overachieved.
Yeah, kind of maybe caught a lot of teams by surprise, especially early in the season. Yeah, you know what? It's not show friends, it's show business, as they said in Jerry Maguire, right? So he's gone. You know what the word is, and I'm reading online, and Todd McLellan. A lot of people are thinking Todd McLellan, obviously a lot of ties to Sasky, former Saskatoon Blade, coached the Swift Current Broncos, and let go by Los Angeles earlier this year. They're talking about him in the mixer, Craig Berube. So there's going to be a lot of maybe it's the Denver college coach that we talked about, right? That should have got the Buffalo job.
It could be. If it ends up being Todd McLellan, he's just a good guy and he's so smart. And wherever he goes, he sets them up for success. Has he been able to take the teams across the line? No. But as far as taking a team with basically no structure to having structure, they're good. It'll be interesting after four when we get Eric Francis' take on what he thinks. Probably the funniest story from the weekend, because the internet is melting down. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in a shambles.
Yeah.
And if the games were just on radio, that would be one thing for them to be losing. But since there's cameras everywhere and people on, what was that, on Saturday, everybody turned into a lip reader to find out what Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner were saying on the bench, and it's just a disaster from there.
And Austin Matthews has his face turned, so you can't really make it out. I'm sure, you know, there are some professional lip readers out there that could have, but then the Nylander, that was hilarious, because that's clear as day. You know, this isn't Junior, and
Stop crying. Stop crying, bro. This isn't Junior. Well, and I mean, Mitch Marner throwing his gloves down. I was busy, because when we go to Notre Dame on Thursday, one of the guys we're going to talk to is Wendell Clark. And I can't imagine on any team that Wendell Clark would have played on in minor, when he would have been at Notre Dame, or in the Dub, or in the NHL, that if somebody on the bench would have thrown their gloves down like that in disgust if things were going wrong, what would have happened to you behind closed doors?
You would have got your eyes pumped shut by Wendell.
Probably.
Yes. Let's stop that right there. Wendell Clark, Sasky Beauty, we have her on the line. We have to go. This is crazy. They win the national championship on Saturday, the Regina Rebels. 2-1 win over the North York Storm. Celebration. I'm sure they get back yesterday. Joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline is absolute, I'm going to call her the best 16-year-old in the country, hockey player, and leader from the Regina Rebels. We've had her on before, Stryker Zablocki. Now, Stryker, you loaded everything up and you made your way home today?
Yes, I did.
So it's just back to Prince Albert for the summer, or as of today?
Yeah, back for the summer, back until next year.
That is awesome. All right, so you guys play North York first game out of the gate. Tough game, losing overtime, and then you know you run through the tournament, and then you meet them again in the final. Did you learn a lot about them through that week? Did you guys know kind of what you knew going in? Did a lot change for you guys when it came to game plan going into that final?
Yeah, definitely. Well, in the first game, we were up 4-1 in the second period, and they actually ended up coming back and then getting the OT win. So we pretty much outplayed them the whole game except for the second period. So we knew we could do that again. And we watched them throughout the week, learn their systems, and then in the end, we ended up countering those and we got the win.
Yeah, I was talking to Anna Benoit's dad, Renee, and then he was just saying how much of a grind the week was. Like, you guys played, and everyone did, you guys play a lot of hockey compacted into like 1 week for this Esso Cup.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 7 games in 7 days is not easy, and it showed in the final game. Everyone was exhausted.
Did you guys do anything, or did the coaches and training staff, did they, you know, regiment you at all throughout the week from kind of what teams have learned going to this national championship in the past?
Not necessarily, but I think most of the girls knew what to do anyway. Like, recovery was really key. All of us had ice baths every night just for that quick turnaround, and stretching lots, rolling out, all of that kind of stuff. And it definitely helped in the long run.
So I'm in Estevan, Maz, watching this game with Gabrielle's 2013 Growl spring hockey team, right? So there's all these, you know, 10, 11-year-old girls just glued on this game. Everyone's cheering loud. Now, Stryker, I watched the highlight again this morning. You pull away from that defender and you go in on that goalie. You're telling me that you were tired. You found a different gear. I know you're fast, but it seems like you found a different gear there to get into that loose puck.
Yeah, I feel like every puck mattered, and I saw the opportunity and I took it. I pretty much gave all I had into that puck and ended up scoring, so that was good.
So, Stryker, it's Maz here. You guys win, and I'm assuming that mom and dad, like, I'm a girl dad. Our girls don't have cell phones yet. I assume that you do. Have your messages been blown up, or have there been some text messages coming in from people maybe you've never met before saying congratulations or just passing on kind words, because you're kind of a national hero now, and you guys are really, it's not that people didn't know who you were, but you've really put the Regina Rebels on the map.
Yeah, well, I feel like everyone was really excited. Everyone was getting texts from lots of people. I was getting texts from people I didn't know and just congratulating all of us. And I think that it really just showed that all the adversity we faced this year, and got through, that it really mattered. And we're national champions now, so that's a pretty big deal for us. And hopefully the Rebels can do it again.
Hannah Tresick in net too. She makes, you know, stops 26 of 27 shots. It's always comforting when you have a solid goaltender, and definitely you had two of them, but Hannah again stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, it's really nice. Hannah played an unreal week, and we really needed that, especially in the final game. She played outstanding. So it's always, like you said, comforting and helps us out knowing that we can just focus on scoring and playing defense, knowing we have a good goalie who can stop the pucks in the net.
So, Hannah, now that you're back home in Prince Albert for the summer and you are a national champion, you got a nice medal, right? Did you get a medal?
Yes. Yes.
Now, does that get you out of having to, like, unload the dishwasher, you know, clean rooms, the household chores that mom and dad may make you make? Do you, like, I'm a national champion, please, I'll let somebody else handle that job?
Not at all.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
See, that's the Saskatchewan humble that we like. Now, okay, so what's the long-term plan? Is it you want to stay
She's got a full ride.
Junior?
She's got a full ride to Northeastern.
Okay, so the Northeast, and you must be seeing what's going on in the Professional Women's Hockey League. I'm assuming, can I assume it's safe to say that is a goal? We could be watching you on a Friday or Saturday night here in a couple of years. Is that in the long-term
yes.
plans?
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a goal.
Okay. Yeah, and then, okay, so my question is, your favorite hockey player, I didn't ask you this the last time I interviewed you, is it a female, is it a male? Like, what kind of players do you really watch and I guess try and tailor your game after?
It's actually Austin Matthews, and I kind of try to tailor my game after him, and he's a great shot. I try to shoot like him, but...
Are you a Leafs fan?
Not quite there yet, but...
Are you a Leafs fan?
Not really. Okay. I'm an Oilers fan, but I really like Austin Matthews.
Because they're an absolute dumpster fire right now, the Leafs.
And, oh, I know.
You know, guys freaking out on the bench and all that. That would never go with the Regina Rebels. Well, I know. Okay, so you're Prince Albert now. So do you have classes? Are you going back to Carleton? Or, you know, what does the next couple months hold for you?
Yeah, I just switched school, so tomorrow will be my first day at Carleton again. And it's pretty simple change. And just going to the same classes I was at Miller.
Do you wear the medal tomorrow, or are they doing anything in the gymnasium for you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, come on, PA Carleton teachers. Get on it. We got a national champion. I know, Stryker, you drove all the way home. You just got home, and I got to say, really, congratulations. Again, my daughter was the seventh skater earlier this year. You guys are just absolute pros in that dressing room, and such nice young ladies, and so happy and proud, just being from Saskatchewan, too. And I know this is it's a busy day for you, and you took some time today, so totally appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That is national champion Stryker Zablocki from the Regina Rebels. Yeah, Maz, you know what? Besides maybe the odd game that I'm really hammering with a few units when it comes to gambling, I was cheering loud watching this. It's like a Sasky pride thing, right? You're from Sasky, you get it.
Well, it is, because you heard her say it early in the interview, we're national champions. Nobody can ever take that away from, no matter whatever happens going forward in their hockey career. Because here's the thing, if this team sticks together and they get close, but no matter what'll happen next year, the years to come, that can never ever be taken away. That they'll always have the medal, they'll always have the memories. And it was interesting to see how, you know, kind of in the sports bubble, how this was catching on, not only around here, but in a lot of the other areas. You're watching me like, wow, that social media channel picked it up, or I didn't realize that those guys were interested in under 18 women's hockey. But I think because of everything that's going on in the PWHL and all of that, that the spotlight's on, and then you're seeing some really good hockey. I think that was the bottom line. The hockey was really good.
You, like I said, Gabby was a seventh skater. You go and watch, and even in warm-ups, you just watch them warm up. And this ain't your mom's women's hockey from the 80s. Like, with the technology and how they, and the size, it's really the goalies. Like, the size of the goalies, it's like, wow, like that, there's not a lot to shoot at there. And these girls, ladies, can wire the puck. Like, they have top-notch shot. So super proud. We got to mention Berlin Lolliker. She had a goal in the final. She set some kind of record, like just went off in the tournament. So super proud. And yeah, just Sasky, right? They bring home a national championship. The Regina Rebels 2-1 win over the North York Storm on Saturday. Time for our first break. When we come back, we're going to head out onto the Western Pizza Hotline again and chat with Farhan Lalji from TSN. You're listening to The Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage is brought to you by Sherwood Co-op. From locally grown fresh produce, condiments, and Western Canadian beef, your barbecue tastes better when you shop at Sherwood Co-op food stores. Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Yeah, Saskatchewan, you can always text us in and maybe let us know what you're thinking about the NHL playoffs, because we're getting Farhan Lalji on the line here right away. So let's save the Vancouver talk, Maz, for when we get Farhan on the line again tonight. Tonight's a day that Barney's scared. I'm running scared in my own house because I need Dallas desperately to win in Vegas again.
I wanted, man, Vegas, if they wouldn't have been asleep for the first 38 minutes of that hockey game, I mean, they left Logan Thompson hung out to dry that game. Dallas comes back. To Wyatt Johnston, 2 goals. He dominated that hockey game. Yeah. With 2-1 Golden Knights, and there's only 2 games on the schedule, so that'll be a 7:30 faceoff. Lightning and Panthers tonight at 5. And I think it's just a matter of time. I think that the Panthers can wrap this thing up tonight. They're back home on home ice. And it was nice. It was a nice comeback story for Sergachev. We see him come back from that broken leg after a couple of months. But I just think that Florida is too strong. They got so many. I didn't realize. Here's me not paying attention. Oliver Ekman-Larsson plays for the Florida Panthers. I'm like, yeah, that's right, he does. And Kyle Okposo from the Buffalo Sabres also playing for the Florida Panthers. And I know that. I know when it all went down. But then you realize, be like, wow. They kind of loaded up for their playoff run, and Vladimir Tarasenko also plays for the, hey, this just in, Maz, plays for the Florida Panthers.
back, yeah, you know what? There are a few teams like that. I think there was people talking about Vegas that way, too. It's like, oh, yeah, they still have this guy, Alex Martinez, you know, who's been in the league, won Stanley Cups. But when you have you seen this Logan Thompson? We were talking about it, you know, hockey parents at a hockey tournament on the weekend, and I'm like, where did this guy come from? So we start pulling up his stats. Classic Kelly MacCrimmon. Classic Kelly MacCrimmon. He's a branded wheat king, kicks around Grand Prairie, then Brandon, then he goes to like Brock University. And then he doesn't, I don't know if he plays the full year there, 24 games must have. Then he gets picked up and then he just gets this pro career going, like East Coast League, AHL, then East Coast League again. And then boom, all of a sudden he's with the Las Vegas Golden Knights and he's like standing on his head.
Well, and it's, those are the kinds of things that, and that's probably the way you got to do it with goalies, because how often do you ever see a goalie get drafted real high, come out and blow away expectation and be good within the first couple of years? And then how many other take the Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill route, where it's this crazy roller coaster?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, because MacCrimmon probably, like I said, saw him as a kid and watched him and always thought, if I get my chance, if he gets his chance. I wonder when he went to Brock University, was it the uni 1 year starter pack to be like, we're going to enroll you in 2 classes, whatever the bare minimum is, so you can play sports, and then we're going to help you with the tutor, and then you're going to play a little bit, and then over there. But you got to root for guys like that. Are the kind of guys that you love, because they're grinders. That's a Saskatchewan grinder type situation.
Yeah, and well, he hails from. Where is it again? He's a Western.
Good old hockey.
I think he's Calgary.
Hockey DB.
Yeah, Calgary, Alberta. So, you know, good Western boy.
Because him and Aiden Hill, because when they had when the Stanley Cup was in Calgary last year, I saw them do a lot of events together just so they could get in more people than you could sort of on your own.
Yeah.
I think I saw something on social media. I think it was them that took the Stanley Cup to 7-Eleven and filled it with Slurpee.
It was White Cloud. It was White Cloud.
Was it White Cloud that did that? Because I got confused because I think when the Avalanche won, what was it the year before? Because I think I saw O'Connor, who's also from Calgary. They did something similar to that. I don't know. It was a convenience store somewhere. But anyways, you can't help but root for a guy like that.
All right.
And so tonight, well, I hope we bounce back. Is Farhan on the line?
Yeah. Let's go out on the Western Pizza hotline. Always a great night for a Western Pizza wheel, especially if you're sprinkling on the postseason like I am. Okay, Farhan, we saved the Vancouver Canucks for you. Now I'm going full disclosure here. I am embarrassed to say I'm respecting the Vancouver Canucks now. I didn't respect them going into this series, and I lost a ton of respect for the Nashville Predators.
Well, you're not alone when it comes to the Canucks because of how they finished the season, right? And look, this is like a first-year group. You can't really count what happened in the bubble. So these guys are a group of players that came out of nowhere, and at some point you're expecting the clock to strike midnight for Cinderella. So no offense taken. I'm not on the payroll. We're good. But as far as the Predators are concerned, yeah, I mean, they had that game. Like, you can't let that game slip away. It was there for the taking. They were clearly, by far, the better team for 57 minutes. And, like, I sent out a tweet that Canuck Nation just dunked on me for, not that I care, but they were like, oh, how could you say that? Because I basically said with 3 minutes to go that unlike Game 2, because in Game 2 the Canucks trailed 3-1, and they were all over Nashville. Like it was ridiculous that they lost that game given how one-sided it was. And I said, unlike Game 2, the Canucks have no push. There is nothing here. They were outshot 10-1 in that third period until there was like 8.5 minutes to go. It was crazy. So you just thought, okay, these guys are content with a split. You can tell some guys are kind of wearing down a little bit and banged up, and they wound up pulling it out. But, you know, to your original point about not believing in this group coming in, like, I get it. They were really, really ordinary after the All-Star break, and some of their best players haven't been at their best. So it would certainly be a team. Like, if I'm Nashville and I'm looking up around the top of the West, and I say, who would I like to play? Oh, I'd like to play Vancouver. I think we can do that.
Absolutely. Right? And now they have, like, a goalie. I don't even know who their backup is. Maybe he's a guy from the Adult Safe Hockey League. Like, they're down to their third-string goalie, and it's like, what is going on here? Sorry, Maz, I know you had something to say.
Well, no, if you're Colton Sissons, how bad do you feel? Oh. You have an empty net and you hit the post and then your team comes back and lose. And then when they started overtime, I'm like, I bet you this ends within 2 minutes. Now, Farhan, how does Rick Tocchet not win Coach of the Year? Taking that team from wherever he picked up like a season and a half ago to what he's done. Like, I swear, sometimes all coaching doesn't know. Coaching matters. Like, that team, it just, there's no quit. That's Rick Tocchet hockey from start to finish.
Well, look, Rick is going to be a slam dunk to win the Coach of the Year. I would be stunned, right? I mean, when you look at Thatcher Demko just got named a Vezina finalist. I think Quinn Hughes is the favorite to win the Norris Trophy, but I think Rick Tocchet is a slam dunk to win Coach of the Year. If he doesn't, there should be some sort of investigation because, again, you know, to Barney's point at the start, no one picked this team even to get to the playoffs, right? I mean, you would have had to have lived in Vancouver, not be in the media business, and just be a pure fan to have picked the Canucks to make the playoffs. I mean, they were going to be kind of that bubble team. So what he's done and how he's managed to get the most out of almost all of his key players, he's instilled a belief, he's instilled a system, and an expectation in these guys, right? Yeah. So I think they know there's a level of accountability that they've got to deal with that maybe they weren't dealing with before. There's a lot that Rick Tocchet has done right, and absolutely the front runner for Coach of the Year.
Okay, again, here we go. I'm full disclosure guy today. I was driving home from Estevan, so I was listening to the game. I didn't watch the game. I don't know if the ice was tilted or how you're kind of shedding some light on it, Farhan. But I got to tell you, I don't like being critical of play-by-play guys. But the Nashville, it was the Nashville feed, and they scored the second goal, and it was, and he was doing the play-by-play, and it was just like, oh, and in front of the net, and Besser scores, and I'm like, did he just say they scored? And I'm like, well, now things are real. And then my daughter's in the back, and she's like, well, they're only down one. And then the goalpost thing, he kind of glanced by that. Then I watched the highlights, and I'm like, oh, well, no, this ain't good. So, Farhan, the thing that I heard today, it's like an 8-hour flight from Vancouver to Nashville.
No, not. I mean, if those guys are flying direct, it's about 4 hours.
Okay, four hours.
I was going to say, it takes 8 hours to fly to Paris.
With multiple connections?
That's what I read. It's two ways. 8.5 there and back. Okay, so Vancouver's playing, and now they're trying to eliminate travel because they have some of the most grueling travel playing in Vancouver. That win last night, that is huge, you know, health-wise, rest-wise, if they can somehow pull this off again in Vancouver.
Yeah, it is critical because, you know, you can certainly make the case that Nashville has been the better team for big chunks of this series, right? They probably outplayed Vancouver for most of game one, and then Vancouver got two quick goals in the third period. And it wasn't one-sided like it was in the second half of game two and things like that. But, you know, you could make the case that it was even, or maybe Nashville was a little bit better. Vancouver comes out with the win. Now, the next game, Vancouver was clearly better. They lose the game. Nashville was clearly the better team yesterday, and they won the game, right? Like, so if you're Nashville, you probably feel good about how you're playing. You probably feel good about the fact that, hey, over these last two games, we've really been able to lean on Quinn Hughes. And he feels it, right? Like, in the third period, in the second period, he took a hit from two Predators. I think Sissons was one of them. I forget who the other one was, but he basically got sandwiched in between them, went to the bench, and had to deal with the trainer for a little bit. Like, he was feeling it, and he missed a shift, and had only played like 12 and a half minutes after two periods, which is really low for him. You know, like, if you look at Quinn Hughes' celebration on the game-tying goal, about it. Game-tying goal with 8 seconds left. He's basically walking. He's, like, arms up. He had nothing left, right? So, you know, to your point, like, you don't want this guy playing extra games right now. Elias Pettersson has been really ordinary at best since the All-Star break. I'm told he's dealing with a couple of things. You want him playing less right now. So it's not even the travel. It's just more games and more beatings and more hits, you know, because if all of a sudden, I mean, you know the deal. Like, if Vancouver loses, you go into a hostile environment for game six, and then you got to come back maybe for a game seven with the other team having all the momentum. You don't want any of that. Like, you need to get this done now.
Well, on that Brock Besser tying goal, if Quinn Hughes keeps breaking ankles like he did on that at the blue line where nobody touched him, because as soon as I saw that, I'm like, uh-oh, this is not good. And then how Besser was able to score basically from below the goal line. And you could just tell. And once they scored that goal, I knew it. I'm like, there's no way. Unless Nashville gets a fluky goal, they're done. That when you get scored on with 6 seconds left to tie the game, I'm sorry, but that's the pin in the balloon. And hey, listen, and I'm not saying that we flip cars and start things on fire, but after yesterday's win, I was like, all right, the Canuck bandwagon slowly building momentum. Well, let's keep a fire extinguisher handy, but let's build some momentum here, because they could, and if they're smart and if they can do themselves a favor, you win this thing in five, and then you don't got to go back to Nashville, and you save all that juice.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, just to avoid that and to close the deal, like, you know, for this group, they're dealing with a lot of firsts, right? Like, last night was their first overtime, and again, I'm kind of wiping the whole bubble playoff clean, right? And even the Canucks have to a point. So first comeback, first bump, first overtime. Now this is your first closeout situation. Right? Can you get this done and get past this moment and play your best hockey, right? Knowing what's at stake, because you know that Nashville is going to throw everything. They're going to empty the tank. Hey. So Vancouver's got to find a way to match that. And if they can, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know that they should be favored by any stretch against Edmonton, but nonetheless, playing fewer games here, because you know Edmonton's winning game five. For the Canucks to be able to get this thing done earlier, it'll help them.
One more quick thing on the Canucks. I wanted to ask you, because you're there, you live there. Am I seeing this right on social media? After every Canucks win, are they like celebrating on certain streets, and like people are like, it looks really cool, don't get me wrong. Is that what's going on in the greater Vancouver area?
Well, there's this area called Scott Road, which is kind of between Surrey and Delta.
Okay.
And a very, very heavy Indo-Canadian community that's there. And massive support of the Vancouver Canucks. So they have this thing called Scott Road Sellies. So after a Canuck playoff win, you know, people gather down there, and there's people walking up and down the streets and jerseys and flags and cars honking horns, and it'll build as the playoffs go. They actually did it during COVID, like in the bubble playoffs, it was still a thing. And, you know, the Canucks are not allowing watch parties for home games. which is unfortunate. They had a watch party in Rogers Arena for the away games, but they're not allowing it for home games. But there's still a thing, a buzz down in Scott Road every game.
Okay. Thanks for shedding light on that, because I was very confused. Okay,
Canucks fans, we can't have nice things. So Farhan, 180 degree shift, NFL draft, and it's littered with Canadians, not only through the draft and free agency. Just highlight some of the big names. The gentleman straight out of UBC, not only signing a free agent deal, but guaranteed money. That's almost unheard of for a Canadian coming straight from CIS Sports.
Unheard of is the guy that also got drafted, right? So UBC had two linemen, Giovanni Manu, who got drafted in the fourth round by Detroit, and the Lions traded up to get him. They traded a third in next year's draft to go get him, and they were pretty excited. And I think this kid's got just a big-time future, like 6'7 and a half, 350 pounds, ran almost 5 flat in the 40. And there's just so much potential there. And then Theo Benedet, who probably would have had a chance if he'd come out last year to get into the NFL draft as well, was close to being drafted when it was over. There was about 7 to 10 teams that were all over him really quickly. He got a good bonus and signed with the Bears. You've also got Isaiah Adams, who winds up going got drafted in the third round. A couple of others got drafted a little bit later. Theo Johnson, the tight end from Windsor, Ontario, goes to the New York Giants. And then also Tanner McLaughlin in the sixth round goes to the Bengals. So, and then there's four other guys that signed as undrafted free agents, which will, dovetail into what happens tomorrow in the CFL draft, because the higher you go in the NFL, the lower you're going to go in the CFL, because the teams know it's unlikely we're ever going to see this guy. So curious to see how that plays out.
That's what I was going to ask you, is how does that parlay into tomorrow? Is there one or two that maybe went or that signed that you thought, wow, man, I thought that guy was going to be, CFL bound for the next couple of years?
Yeah, in terms of the guys that got drafted, none of it surprises me. Gio probably went a little higher than I thought, but the program there, and certainly his agent did a really good job of making sure he got promoted. I thought he might go in the fifth and sixth round, but to get up to the fourth, he's not going to be playing in the CFL. And I would be surprised if he even got drafted in the CFL draft. And the Theo Benedet got a $100,000 signing bonus, so that will deflate his CFL value a little bit, right? I still think he probably gets drafted late, because people know this guy's a good player that is going to get a long shelf life in the NFL. Like, the fact that they gave him that guarantee means he's pretty much a minimum practice roster guy for the entire season. So he'll probably go in the mid round somewhere, I would imagine. The one that interests me is a kid named Kyle Hergel from Ontario. And Kyle played at Boston College, and I thought he might get drafted. He didn't, so he signs as a priority free agent as well, but didn't get much of a bonus. So talking to teams at the combine, I kind of thought he'd be that mid round guy, but now he might go like third, fourth, fifth in the CFL draft, because there's not a big investment that's been made in him, so he may be a guy that kind of elevates, right? And then there's an intriguing kid, a quarterback named Casey Bauman, who was raised in Washington, literally 5 minutes from the Canadian border, and played his college football and high school football in the U.S. And he got signed as a priority free agent by the Chargers. So Marcus Brady and Mark Trestman will be working with him, but he qualifies for the Canadian draft. And he was really late to the party in terms of getting his draft eligibility. But now that he's been signed, like, all of a sudden, CFL scouts might perk up a little bit and say, wait a minute, maybe we need to take a longer look at this, because he's got the resume that will eventually bring him back to Canada. And it would be smart business to draft him now and make sure you maintain him his rights for whenever that moment comes.
So what are you hearing? Because you got to feel bad for Nathan Rourke. Gets picked up by the Patriots last year, gets in the game, they re-sign him. And we knew that they were probably going to draft a quarterback. They take Drake May, but they end up drafting a second quarterback. And you know how hard it is when you're not the guy, or when the coaching staffs change, or there's managerial changes, and somebody new comes in. Is he even going to get a legitimate shot come training camp with the Patriots?
Probably not, right? And number one, it's the current staff that decided to pick up his tender as an exclusive rights free agent, right? So it was Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo that saw enough of him last year that made the decision to say, okay, we want him. And I would imagine that Bailey Zappi, who's still in the building, I would be surprised if he was there when training camp started. It wouldn't shock me at all if he winds up getting traded. And I think when Nathan signed that deal, and he didn't really have a choice but to sign it since it was them that picked it up, they told him at the time, look, we're going to bring in a veteran and we're going to likely draft a guy. So that wasn't a shock. You know, if the Patriots were smart, whether or not Nathan Rourke was part of their program or not, the Patriots should not have drafted a quarterback at third, let alone Drake May, who I have big questions about. That roster is not ready to handle a quarterback. You know, teams are kind of now building out their roster, then bringing in a quarterback, which makes more sense to me because now the kid's got a greater chance to succeed with a better roster around him. So I think the Patriots are in trouble there. But that aside, you know, when they told him that, look, whoever we draft, we're going to make sure he watches the first year. So they bring in Jacoby Brissett, but I would be surprised if they took Drake May and made him a number three with Nathan Rourke as a number two. I just think they have to make May a number two just from a standpoint of reps in practice. So I do think Nathan will find a way to number three, but that still doesn't get him any closer to the field than he was a year ago, even if he winds up dressing for a bunch of games and the Patriots are more likely to dress three. But so I don't like it. I think it sucks. I wish that he was in a different situation. And I hope he can find his way to a different situation.
Could you imagine if he decides to come back to the CFL, the record-breaking money that would be offered him? I'm sorry, but there's going to be some salary cap violation happening with one team. And they're going to be like giving him, trust me, the houses and the cars and all of that stuff potentially off the record. But if he decides to come back, is it as clear as day that he is BC property? Or is he like just a free agent for whoever's got the biggest checkbook that could have a green tinge to it? And
he's a free agent. He can sign with anybody. Now, you know, like I know Nathan pretty well, and we talk, you know, frequently. He still views himself like he still thinks he pays attention to the CFL, and he still pays specific attention to the Lions. Like, he still views himself kind of that way, which is not to say that, you know, he's not going to go where the highest bidder is. But I also know Nathan's not that guy that necessarily is you know, looking for all the extra under-the-table stuff and this and that, right? And from a team perspective, like, the league's put itself in an interesting spot because they've allowed for this marketing money and they've allowed for it to not count against the cap. And I know, like, a Chad Kelly has a lot of marketing money and Brady Oliveira has a lot of marketing money. And it's all above board and it doesn't count against the cap. And, you know, you'd hope that they do legitimate work to actually get that money, but it's gray, right? So teams can be motivated and throw a bunch of money that way at a player, right? So, look, I don't think Nathan's coming back quickly because I do believe that he's going to try to play this out for another season. And then next season, teams can kind of clear the decks and kind of make that big pitch. And maybe he'll realize at that point. Because, look, for me, I want him to make it, right? I want him to play there. And, it's his dream. I believe he's good enough to play, and I hope the right situation happens. But last year didn't work out. Right now, as of this moment, it doesn't look like this year will. And through no reason of Nathan, but I do know that he wants to play it out as long as he can, and it'll take a bit more for him to truly realize you're getting shafted here, and this isn't going to work the way you want it to work. And then at that point, I think all nine teams, including Winnipeg, will do everything they can to make a pitch for this guy.
Yeah, he needs a legitimate shot and some runway, like a chance to play a few games, not like, okay, here's half a football, go in and see what you can do.
Yeah,
he needs to find. And I thought the Patriots last year, as a Patriots fan, was the perfect setup because they were hot garbage. Like Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones was getting run out of town. I don't even think he was wearing cleats for some of the games. And I'm like, perfect. Give him a shot. Let him play. And then it didn't happen. Mind you, you know, Belichick was there and he's just weird. He's like Scotty Bowman, never wants to play young guys. But
it's timing, right? Because they also picked him up with 3 weeks to go. So it was a difficult time for them. You know, and even he was number two for the last game of the year. And going into that game, he was told he was going to get to play. And then, you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't put him in. Which made no sense to me given the stakes. But, you know, no one's going to give Nathan a chance to play in game immediately. What Nathan's got to do is he's got to get, like last year, he chose to go to the place that had two things. One, they gave him a bonus, right? Like they guaranteed his practice roster money, and it had the most stable coaching situation. Like, he didn't go to a volatile place. Like, let's say he would have gone to Arizona where Kyler Murray wasn't playing the first half of the season and everybody else there was hot garbage and, you know, Clayton Tune gets game time. Like, he didn't want to go into a disaster. He wanted to go into a place that was a little more stable. So I get why he did it. But this year, he needs to be at a place that is hot garbage. Like, he needs to be at the Raiders where their quarterback room is trash.
Yeah. Right?
And just go in there and maybe you get, you know, even if you don't get the bonus and things like that, like, I would love to see him take that approach this year. Now, again, it's all out of his control because they had the right to sign him on the exclusive rights free agent deal, and they did. So, you know, can he find a way to get released or get traded now? Not later, but, you know, you don't want this happening in September when everybody's making their final cuts and nobody's looking to add. Everybody's just looking to subtract. You don't want it at that time. You want it now so you can come in and potentially compete for a number two spot, right? So, you know, it's tough. It's tough because those spots were there last year.
The way things are going in Atlanta, don't count out Atlanta for signing another quarterback. They're doing something stupid. Hey, Farhan, I know you're busy. You just landed there. Have a good one tomorrow, and we can't wait to catch up.
All right, looking forward to doing this weekly, guys. Take care.
Right on. Farhan Lalji from TSN. He is going to be riding with us every Monday as we go forward. Time for a break. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. All new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkaruk and Maz McFly on this Monday as we roll here. Yeah, Farhan, really interesting that Vancouver not... you know what it reminds... Not allowed watch parties. If you're just tuning in, Farhan just gave us the 411. They're not allowed watch parties. It reminds me of Saskatchewan. We're not allowed to tailgate.
Yeah, why is that? I've never gotten that. One of the best things about going to a Stamps game sometimes in Calgary is they do a good tailgate in the parking lot.
Yeah,
people are drinking and they're barbecuing and smoking whatever's legal these days, but it's a lot of fun. I love the fact that in 2011 they wrecked it and they're still on probation or they're still grounded by mom and dad. That in 2024 they can't get together and have a watch party, which is kind of funny. I don't know if they beat Nashville and they move on to the next round, because potentially if the Oilers win and the Canucks win, that'll be they play each other, right? That'll be the first time since 92, I think.
Is that how it shakes down? Oh, wow.
Well, I think, but can you imagine? Like, they're not going to be able, the Canucks keep winning, they're not going to be able to quell this because people are just going to start coming downtown and being just around. This is how the Red Mile started in Calgary. People were just, they spilled out of the bars and pubs and they were just congregating and they were organically just all in the same place.
Yeah.
Minus the violence and the crime.
Vancouver, Edmonton. Yeah. I love the fact that, and that's what I was watching on social media. I'm like, okay, so where are they celebrating in the streets? Like, I think that's very cool. Like you said, it's very Indo-Canadian, I think you called it, area of Vancouver. It looks like a lot of fun. Everyone's behind it. I'm just shocked. I just did not give the Vancouver Canucks enough credit, and I'm the first to own that. And what they did yesterday coming back to Nashville with a third string goalie in net. Yeah, they're rolling. Vancouver, so, Edmonton's going to be, if it happens, that's going to be a hell of a series.
Okay, so they did a good job explaining as I watched the game yesterday, because if you said you were listening, I was watching. So is it Silvosh, or how do we pronounce his last name? So he was the at the World Championships last year for, he's Latvian, I believe, right?
Another win for Silvosh.
And so they beat the Americans to win the World Championships last year. And Eddie Lack apparently is also a Latvian goalie. So Eddie's been tweeting up a storm. So he was the goalie that backstopped the World Championships last year. And he looked a little shaky at times, but then he got it together and came up with some key saves. But the big thing too is you could tell once the Predators scored that third goal, they kind of went into defensive mode. I'm like, you guys need one more. Like, two is not enough, because Vancouver, as we've seen all year, they can put up a couple of quick goals, and they did. And then, as we mentioned, if you're Scott Sissons,
And not Scott Sissons. Not Scott Sissons in Saskatoon right now. Colton.
Okay, not Scott. That's former Blade Scott Sissons. Yeah. Colton Sissons. Yeah. Sorry, Scott. Hitting that post, like, how are you going to be haunted forever with that? Like, you were, it was inches away. From and a lot of people going, come on, Maz. Well, Nashville's third goal was kicked in. Nah, it was directed in. There was no kicking motion because it was good. But you just, I just knew once Vancouver tied that game, if they go to OT, I'm like, they're done. Nashville's done. This game is going to be over. It was either going to be done in 2 minutes or it was going to go two extra overtime periods.
How about country music, fledgling country music star, Allie Walker, who played Sunday in Nashville? If you haven't seen this, we got to post this on the Sports Cage or retweet it, Sports Cage X or Twitter. She was drinking beer out of the catfish. Like, she's pulling out all the stops. She's not leaving anything to chance when as trying to make her country music career. I saw it and I'm like, who is that? And then it was Alan here. It's like, she's like the country music person that's performed in at intermission. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Did you haven't seen it?
No, I did not see that. And let's see.
Super gross. Your phone's going off, by the way.
I know. My phone's going off. That's a fine, isn't it? Is that a fine?
Yeah. 12.016s or Canadians, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. No, I did see that. And so I was like, okay, they poured Budweiser into the catfish's throat. And I'm like, she's not actually going to put that. And she just put it up to her mouth and she drank the beer out of the stomach of that fish. And
so gross.
But hey, listen, when you're trying to get your career off the ground, yeah, and it can help you go viral, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
936-6262. We got some text messages coming in about the NHL playoffs and people are as dumbfounded as me and what happened with the Nashville Predators. You can always call. We'll take some calls maybe in the next hour. We have to take a break. It's an hour in the books on the all new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Back inside the all-new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkerick, Maz McFly here on this Monday. If you missed it in hour one, nice interview with Regina Rebel national champ striker Zablocki. We also had Farhan Lalji come in, talk NHL, more specifically the Vancouver Canucks, and he's on his way to the CFL draft. Hey, Maz, we're on our way to Notre Dame on Thursday. Big day. It's a Hounds thing day. Biggest fundraising day of the year. We are hoping to have joining us on the Sports Cage Jaden Schwartz, Gary Lehman, Barry Trotz, although Barry might not be in a good mood.
Yeah.
And Sasky legend Wendell Clark. So
it'll be interesting. And if he wants to talk about it, Stanley Cup champion Jaden Schwartz played the past couple of years with the Seattle Kraken. And earlier today, and we're going to have Eric Francis on in a second. We'll get to that. Dave Haxtell, coach of the Seattle Kraken, fired. And I get it. You're a player. You're under contract and you're with the team. And you may not want to share anything. But after 3 years, what was he? He was 107, 112, and 27 OT losses or whatever. Not great. Maybe they overachieved last year. So looking forward to Thursday when we're going to be in Wilcox. You can donate right now. It's giving.notredame.ca if you want to donate to the Hounds Fund this afternoon. Maybe you have before you hop in the vehicle on your way home.
That's right. Big day for Notre Dame. All right, let's go out on the Western Pizza Hotline. It's time for our Monday chat with a guy who we learned a lot about him and Brad Paisley last week and all that. And then he learned about the moose leg in Flin Flon. So it was a week of learning, wasn't it, Eric Francis?
It was a wonderful exchange of information. I learned a little bit about you guys. We laughed, we cried. There was so much in it. So let's do it again today.
What?
But there's a caveat. You sent me an email earlier today telling me about your golf score. And I got some pretty strict rules about that. Like, I thought by now everybody knew that nobody cares about another man's golf score, ever. And I'll second that. I appreciate you sharing, and we're getting to know each other. And, you know, knowing, you know, that you shot 107 and all that, that helps me a lot understand what kind of athlete you are. But that's right up there with, like, putting vacation photos on Twitter. Like, there's no way, there's no better way to make people unfollow you than by sharing golf information. Even my wife, look, I learned one thing. When she says, how was your golf game, you get one answer. And all it is fine, thanks. You don't go into the third hole. You got to, you know, you made this great shot. Nobody cares. But anyway, congratulations. 107 is pretty good for your first time out.
Oh, man. Is it over for Nashville?
I don't think so. Not at all. I thought they were the better team last game, to be honest. And you know, they're facing a team that's playing their third string goalie. No, I don't think it's over for Nashville at all. Like, I mean, obviously it's not good being down 3-1, but, you know, you go in and steal a game in Vancouver and there's a whole different complexion in there, especially if Vancouver's goaltending doesn't get healthier, which it's not going to. So I don't think that one's over at all. No, I think there's other series that look a little closer to being over than that one, that's for sure.
What do you know about the Vancouver goalie? Did you know much about him going in? What is it, Silvosh or...
Yeah, I know nothing about him. I'll be honest. He didn't play all year with the team. The big story out of Vancouver this year early on was, A, how great their third line was, like this incredible, the production out of their third line, but also that Casey DeSmith had kind of resurrected, or at least, kind of started his career, with a really good year. He was a really, really nice story there. When he went down, and it sounds like he's still a possibility for even the next game, the fact that there's a goalie in the playoffs that no one's heard of, that's a scary thing and an amazing thing to overcome. And good on Vancouver for doing it.
Well, when they announced, they're like, and I saw before the game, Casey DeSmith is going to be out just this game. He could be back. It's a thing. And then the guy, and it's funny, and when they brought him on, they're like, oh, he won the world championships for Latvia last year. And you're like, okay. And then he kind of, I just knew, Eric, when they scored that third goal with 6 seconds left, that was the pin in the balloon for Nashville in that game anyways. Because I thought if the Canucks, come out and grab a goal early here, it's going to be bad. Probably the biggest story, and I wanted, because your phone must blow up anytime, and you everything that's going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the comic sensation of the lip reading on the bench from Saturday's game and the loss to the Boston Bruins and just the shambles that they're in. It's kind of nice to be like, oh man, I'm so glad I'm not part of that fan base. Is this not one of the best dumpster fire stories of 2024? Especially in hockey, or can the Leafs normally? How can they top themselves with all of their other playoff failures? They managed a way to find a new level or a new low.
Fight each other,
and the rest of the country loves watching it.
Yes,
and it's entirely predictable that it would be a dumpster fire. Just we never knew, who was going to throw the gasoline on top of it, right? I mean, and so now it's Nylander ripping into Marner, or was he ripping into Matthews? And what was he saying? I was with you. I watched that clip. Maybe, I kept watching it on a repeat on Twitter there. Like, what is he saying? Is he like, stop crying, bro? This isn't Junior. Either way, there's clearly, visible frustration, which is understandable. But the fact that, Matthews is sick and Nylander's has got headaches and migraines and, like, it's just a colossal. No one could have predicted how they were going to collapse, but everyone could have predicted that they would collapse. And so everybody outside of the greater Toronto area gets exactly what they wanted, and that is, disarray in Toronto. And because of it, it's going to affect my life. So you're talking about lighting up my phone. Now, one of the many storylines that come out of the season is, obviously Marner's got to go. They've obviously got to break up the core four. And I don't disagree, with either one of those statements. You know, Brad Treliving's got a hell of a task on his hands. Don't be surprised if he doesn't break up the core four. He didn't do it when he arrived, when everyone said that he had to. But the now the narrative is going to be Marner to pretty much any city in the NHL over the summer for trade rumors. And, of course, Calgary will be on that list. They'll say, well, Toronto needs a goalie, so maybe they could trade for Markstrom, and then the Flames would get Marner, which would make no sense to anybody on the planet. So I want to stop that rumor right now. I'm not going to be able to stop it, but I'm going to put that one right where it belongs, in the trash bin, because the Flames are not don't have a room or interest in a Mitch Marner.
Joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, Eric Francis, social media etiquette coach. When I look at the league, okay, maybe I'm crazy here, but you know what I thought when Mitch Marner looks like an absolute, you know, 8-year-old kid throwing his gloves off and all that? I think, well, he just played himself off Team Canada for the Olympics in 2 years.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
I go deep, Eric. Golf game, and I look way ahead.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I'm not saying that that's... I don't think it's that simple, but I think that there may be something to that. His frustration being voiced really does, you know, it's a pockmark on him as they move forward and make tough decisions on who is going to be on Team Canada. I'd have to look at the winger situation for Team Canada again, and Lord knows everyone in Canada is going to do that 1,500 times between now and the next Olympic Games.
Oh, yeah.
To see who else he'd be battling with. But yeah, the competition is going to be fierce, and, you know, he's still going to have a couple of years to prove himself. Listen, we've seen a million times, guys, where a guy's been written off by the media, by social media, by the fans, and said, this guy's done, trade him, he's a bum.
Theo Fleury.
The very next year. Yeah, like the very next year he just lights it up. So we've seen this so many times. I'm not ready to kind of discount Mitch Marner and the fact that he won't be able to be. This is a 100-point scorer in the NHL many times. I'm not willing to write him off completely.
Well, on the flip side, besides the Leafs melting down, and they do love to do this to themselves, I am so impressed. Without Patrice Bergeron, how good is Brad Marchand? All-time, not only the all-time Bruins goal scorer, but now he's up there in NHL. He just keeps getting better and better. Like him, it seems like him himself, he's on a mission to dismantle the Toronto Maple Leafs in this series. He looks outstanding.
Have you ever watched him play live, Maz? Marchand?
No, I don't know if I ever have seen him live.
Unbelievable. Live. Sorry, Eric. Go ahead with Maz's question.
Well, he's a lot. He's so much like Theo Fleury. I mean, he's the closest thing you'll ever see in the NHL to Theo Fleury. Like, but the difference is, this guy made a conscious effort. I remember him saying, you know, shortly after he kissed or licked the player's face, whatever that story was, he did say that he didn't want to be known for that sort of stuff, and he kind of made a concerted effort to curb the nonsense. And I saw the same thing with Matthew Tkachuk. You know, like, I've always thought so highly of Matthew Tkachuk because he can beat you in so many different ways, with his mouth, with his head, with a hit, with a pass, with a goal. And Marchand's the same way, but they both have kind of been clear to the media over the years that they were going to change. No one believed them. But both of them have really toned down the extracurriculars. You know, they use it when it's convenient and when it can help their team, and they both draw a ton of penalties. But you don't see them doing the stupid things that they used to do earlier in their careers. And I think they both really, it's important to both of them that they be known as, ultimately, I think they both want to be known as the Hall of Famers that I think they both are going to be. But they just want to be respected as great players, not just as great storylines. And that's, Marchand's doing that. He's a great storyline on top of it all. And I wasn't sure that guy was leadership material to be the captain, but man, he's leading in every possible way. So I'm 100% with you. He might be, you know, he's certainly one of the top five stories of the playoffs so far this year.
Have the Winnipeg Jets completely fallen off a cliff? Can they get it back on track, like against the Avalanche, or is this pretty much a done deal?
Well, Hellebuck's got to play better.
Yeah, Hellebuck's got to play better, but you're playing against a team that a lot of people still think could win the Stanley Cup, right? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, the Jets have fallen off a cliff and aren't playing that well or anything like that. It's what, you know, it's one of those ones where you got to give all the credit to the Colorado Avalanche for absolutely taking over a series after a first, you know, they lost that first game, but it was still a hell of a game. They got six goals. And then since then, they've just shown that they are by far the better team. So, no, there's no hope for Winnipeg to come back and win this series. And that's because, not because Winnipeg's not playing well, it's because Colorado is a juggernaut, man. And Cale Makar is, you know, top five player in the National Hockey League, no question about it. Him and Quinn Hughes, two best defensemen by a mile in the NHL this year. When he wants to take over a game, it is fun to watch. Like, I don't know, I'll throw it back at you guys. Like, what's the most fun team to watch? I know that we could argue over which series are the most entertaining and best to watch, but to me, Colorado, with the skill of a Makar and the heart and skill of a MacKinnon and speed, like, I'm not sure there's a more entertaining team in the league. Can you guys think of one?
Las Vegas, at times.
At times.
Eichel makes it look like a shinny game out there, and he's doing it again.
Yeah.
And my daughter's wondering why she's not having a birthday party next week. And I said, because Dad put all that money and bet on the Dallas Stars. And now, tonight, it could be all over.
Listen, sorry, I don't want to cut you off. Stars are still my choice to win the cup.
That's why I took her birthday money. That's why I took that money, because you said.
It makes you a bad dad that you would take my advice and steal your daughter's money. But I'm not giving up on them. I look today just like, you know what? I don't gamble online anymore. But if I did have an account, if it wasn't shut off for legal purposes, no, I'm kidding. If it wasn't shut off, I'd double down, because it's 12-1 now for the Stars to win the cup, and I still think that could still happen.
Give Sean Lemon a call and put some action down on that.
On his European on his European sports book. Okay, so here's the thing, Barney. When we don't have to talk so seriously about hockey, I'm going to get Eric to retell a story about, he's talking about being a dad. It was a bit he did on the radio, and I texted him, I'm like, the best thing you did on the radio all year when I heard this was a bit about his family and the dishwasher. We don't have time for it today, but it's an Eric Francis classic. And I loved you, and I texted you specifically about that. So, Lightning Panthers. You had brought it up that Matthew Tkachuk has really cleaned up his game. The Lightning thing was nice the other night, but is tonight the night the Panthers finally finish off Coop and the crew? Is Tampa out of gas?
It could be, but, man, Tampa's still a hell of a team, and these have been hell. These have been great games. Like, you know, Tampa's still a damn good team. Like, you know, they got a tough matchup there, obviously, playing against a juggernaut like Florida, but No, I'm not willing to, you know, suggest that series is, hey, I think it's going to be tough to climb back and win three in a row, no question about it. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Tampa's going out tonight, because, you know, with all the firepower they have and the experience and the goaltending, like,
Sergachev back
win tonight. They can easily, yeah, Sergachev back, that's an emotional lift. That helped them a little bit last game. Like, I don't know, guys, like, that is just, that's been my favorite series to watch. The goaltending's been sublime. There's been still lots of goals, even though the goaltending's been good. So many storylines. Like, yeah, Florida is the favorite to win. They always have been. But I also don't buy this whole changing of the guard, and this is the end of the window for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, sure, they're not as good as they were when they won two cups in a row. Sure, they're a little older. Sure, they may lose Stamkos this summer. But I still think the base is there, and I still think it's the best coach in all of sport, who's running the show there. So I'm not willing to give up on Tampa tonight in the series or even over the next couple of years.
All right. That's Eric Francis. We get to do it again on Wednesday. In the meantime, I'll send you a couple paragraphs on this buttercut three iron I hit on Saturday. You're going to want to know that story, and Eric will chat with you again on Wednesday.
Please do. Please do. And then I'll send photos of my dishwasher, and I'll tell you that as well.
It's a great story. Like, there's highs and lows and dramatics. There's emotions in it. Like, it is, it's one of the best stories I heard all last year.
I can't wait.
On traditional media, I got to tell you.
I can't wait.
Fantastic.
All right, Eric. Have a good night. Oh, you cut him off already. Okay, that's funny. I can't wait for the story now. Like, you hype this up.
If you are now in a family situation, there's always one person that loads the dishwasher.
Yes.
And there's one person that reloads the dishwasher properly. I play that second role of reloading the dishwasher properly so we can get more than four things in, okay? Everybody else that lives here is on the other team to be like, I'll put in three cups and turn it on. Yeah. That's efficiency to me.
Okay, so you got young kids too. Mine are getting older, but I need to get this through. I unload, I do everything dishwasher. The kids help out once in a while. The problem is they don't do a little pre-rinse. So if it's early in the week and it's sour cream from pierogies or something like that, and they just chuck it in there by Wednesday, if you don't wash that bad boy, that reeks. It's like, no, Gabby or Rome, you gotta give a little pre-rinse here.
Are you kidding me? We can run our dishwasher in this house three times a day. I'm not a word of a lie. It ran four times on Saturday.
Yeah.
There's only five of us.
We're getting texts, we're getting calls here. We unfortunately, the call system isn't working, so you got to text us 936-6262. John the Habs fan is fired up. Maz, are you reading any of these? He obviously loving what's the dumpster fire that is the Toronto Maple Leafs. As a Habs fan, he's saying without Demko and DeSmith, the Canucks have no chance. If they meet Edmonton, they do have a chance. Edmonton, you know, yeah, they got the best player in the world and then another guy, but there will be a chance there. And how many times have we seen goalies come out of nowhere and get things done in the playoffs? So, John, I know Edmonton will be the favorite there, I think.
Is Stuart Skinner going to turn into what Aiden Hill turned into last year? And there's nothing wrong with the game, the Oiler King game yesterday, but between those two teams, I need more goals. 1-0 games between the Kings and the Oilers. I need more goals. Like when Eric was saying, like Colorado's exciting to watch because when they turn it on, yeah, and it just, here comes McKinnon, and it just starts coming.
Makar.
There's nothing wrong with the game yesterday other than the fact, why are you starting a game at 8:35 on a Sunday night when you could have just rammed everything down earlier in the day? Because if you're in the Eastern time zone, and that's all they care about is Eastern time zone TV, that's a 10:35 start. So bad on the NHL. 1-0,
I watched part of it while taking an ice cube in Moose Jaw. We'll get to that when we talk Moose Jaw, Saskatoon, WHL. It is the Sports Cage, the brand new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage is brought to you by Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090. All-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage. It's Barney Shankarek and Maz McFly here. We've been talking a lot of NHL playoffs. People are chiming in on the text line. Thinking that Vancouver, and there's just tons of respect for Vancouver again. And I see it. They're good, like you said, Rick Tocchet, right? They're doing Rick Tocchet kind of things, playing Rick Tocchet hockey.
That's why I like the Canucks, because of Rick Tocchet. It's not necessarily of anything that they've done in the past. I like Rick Tocchet. I always thought he was a good coach, and that if given the opportunity, because look what he's done. He took a team of basically, and there was some talent there, but guys disgruntled. Like, look at JT Miller. He was like, no, I want out. And then he has a chat with Tocchet and says, hey, try it my way. You know what? And let's give it a whirl. If it doesn't work, we'll get rid of it. And now he wants to stay. Like, how often does that ever happen where the disgruntled superstar actually will give the coach the chance to do his thing and then change his mind? Farhan Logi alluded to it earlier, before 4 o'clock. Elias Pettersson, he's really got to get going. He's been speaking of being invisible and maybe stealing the odd paycheck with a balaclava on. That would be Elias Pettersson. That's another weapon. But if he does get going, that's a whole other layer to the offense.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get going, but I was listening to a little bit of Vancouver talk radio today. And he's getting lambasted there. Like, there's no mercy on the Elias Pettersson front. So I don't know if he turns it around. Obviously, yeah, they kind of need him. You need depth in the playoffs.
Every fan base needs a whipping person that they just love to go after. Yeah. I mean, that's always like isn't it like anytime I see anything online, it's like the Oiler fans online. It's like 35 minutes out of an hour, you love Darnell Nurse, but then for the next 25 minutes in that same hour, you hate Darnell Nurse. And I don't get it. I'm like, okay, so is Darnell Nurse the Oilers' whipping boy? Is that who everybody goes after?
Yeah, at times, for sure. I think the goaltending there has been the...
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the best part about listening to Spit and Chicklets, when Ryan Whitney talks about how awful his experience was in Edmonton and how he was, like, the most hated person the minute he got there, and then it just got worse, and it compounded upon itself because he knew he was going to be in trouble and that the fans didn't like him, and he was only getting sunk further in to how bad it was starting to be.
When I interviewed him on the podcast... On the Monday Nooner, and I asked him, what is the coldest you remember being in Winnipeg? And he just started howling. He's like, we would come back from a California road trip and land in Edmonton, and it would be like minus 45 when you got off that plane. Yeah, just super funny. Hey, we have to mention, coming up after 5 o'clock, second episode of, what is it, Double Talk?
Well, you know, with the nickname Doubles and Darian Durand, be like, is it Double Talk? Should we go with Double Talk? Should we? I don't know. Doubles is his agent, creative control. Anyways, with the CFL draft tomorrow, we said, hey, Darian, you play fantasy GM. What does every team need to be successful this year? It's okay. Whatever he recommends for the Red Blacks and Ticats, like a lot of us, what does he think Rider Nation needs to do to get this thing back on the rails in 2024, as far as whether it's going to be personnel, is it scheme? Corey Mace coming in, new coach with Mark Mueller last. I love the answer last week. We asked Corey Mace, who's the number one draft pick going to be Tuesday at the CFL draft? And he said Larry Mueller, which was the best. And Larry was busy. He was working the room. It was awesome.
That was funny. How about the Riders, though? They made a signing Canadian defensive back, Catley Joseph, today. Played for the University of Saskatchewan, got his master's degree.
Can I be biased that anybody that played for the Huskies, when the Riders end up signing, and I'm like, yeah, more of that.
He's not from here. He's from Ottawa. Then he played for the University
in the state.
University of Maine. Yeah, then COVID messed that up. Actually, a very, very smart play by, obviously, the Huskies, how they got him. And then a smart play by him, because he had eligibility left, so he's like, well, I'll just take my master's in education. Smart kid.
Oh, I love that. That's probably the thing about the CFL draft and the NFL draft. I was part of the second round of the NFL draft. And if you're talking about how Catley Joseph has his master's degree, I saw about three or four different dudes come on stage, and I would think, they're probably not going to be master's program material at whatever college they're coming out of. But hey, power to you if you get that signing bonus. Tomorrow's our big CFL draft party. We'll be live at Mosaic Stadium from 3 until 6. Barney and I will be there. Luke's going to drop by. Rob Vanstone's going to be on the show. The cast of characters. And if we're looking at the pre-draft rankings in the CFL, Isaiah Adams is the number one ranked player. He's an O-lineman. He's from Ajax, Ontario, and he went to the University of Illinois. Theo Johnson's a tight end. He's from Windsor. He went to Pennsylvania State. And the Riders, who are picking three, Tanner McLaughlin, he's a tight end, Arizona. Could you imagine the story if you could tell?
But Johnson and McLaughlin, you know, what we just talked to Farhan about that, right? They've kind of got NFL things going on now. So,
and they do.
Late picks, maybe. Boy, I'd love that. That McLaughlin's from Lethbridge. He's going to roll in a pair of GWGs, tucked in flannel. Can't you picture him? Probably a Copenhagen.
I love him because he just to be like, he's one of those guys. He'd be another like big Canadian Air Force guy that the crowd, Rider Nation, will instantly fall in love with.
Or like a Canuck
Kyle
truck.
Hergel, Yeah, Kyle Hergel and Theo Benedet, they've got him ranked as the number 5 pick overall. He's probably going to fall down further down the draft board because he was picked in the NFL draft on the weekend. He was given real money for a signing bonus. It'll be interesting to see, or do the Riders do what, and who knows, with the new regime, as far as Corey Mace and Mark Mueller go, and I mean, O'Day has been in charge of quite a few drafts, and we've done real well. Do they completely go off the board, sometimes like the Stamps do, and get somebody that nobody is even thinking of, that isn't on a CFL website pre-draft list?
That's where the international draft comes into play. I was reading about that today. That thing is super cool. And you'd be surprised on how many Samoans, Germans, UK, what else
Italians.
Was there? Chilean. How many players are playing football and they're like, well, they're playing football. No, a lot of them are playing NCAA.
Yeah.
And they're really good.
Well, look at Adam Korsak, our punter, Australian, playing in the NCAA and just hammering the ball because, you know, at home, rugby, soccer, that's what you need. In a story the other day, speaking of punters, when we were talking about Grey Cups 2009, Louis Sakota, I don't know whatever happened to him, but man, he punted. He had the game of his life, if you're part of Rider Nation, in that 2009 Grey Cup when we needed some big punts. Man, he sure came through. Yeah, so CFL Draft Party tomorrow, 3 to 6, the Sports Cage live at Mosaic Stadium. And then after 6, TSN has got the draft. But the way that they do it, there's a lot of preamble. Sometimes that first pick doesn't come until about 6:25, 6:35. Like, they really drag it out because they'll do the first round and then into the second round. So we're going to do our very best tomorrow to get you set up pre-draft. And I think Suits on tomorrow, we're going to ask him about his draft story from way back when, long before the internet existed, when a young Glenn Suter would have been picked. There would have been no Zoom calls to check what was going on in the Suter's living room, even if he was sitting around with his mom and dad.
He definitely not even cordless phone. It was corded phone. And then remember when you used to stretch the corded phone so you could like talk privately in a bathroom so your parents didn't have to hear you?
Exactly. That's my mom and dad's house, the setup. The only place for privacy is you stretch the phone cord, you went into the bathroom, and you close the door.
Oh, those were good times. Keep the text coming, too. Darren here says, sorry, Barney and Eric, it's over tonight for the Stars, so to speak. Vegas. Yeah, well, I underestimated Vegas. I underestimated Vegas. I underestimated Vancouver, I think. It's just not a good year when it comes to betting and pools and all that for me. So a lot more to come. We got SJHL. We're going to talk about what's going on there. What an interesting series shaking down in the final of the SJ. And then Western Hockey League. We're going to tee up a little bit before tomorrow night's game number 3 in Moose Jaw. It is a Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM. The all-new Sports Cage is brought to you by Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
Right off the top of this game, she was in and around the paint. Pucks out loose in front, tries to make the stop. And he tried to keep the puck in the zone as they look to set something up. Reeve looking that crunch. Oh, that's a wrist shot. Looking for what a goal. Lolliker will get credited on the rebound attempt. She has now tied the record for most goals ever by a player here at a single SO Cup. In 4-game streak now, she has recorded a goal. Second year in a row, she put 40 points in the regular season. Lolliker unstoppable here this season. Zablocki, a chance. She'll shoot.
Yes, it is the clutch performer for Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogainer, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077. The clutch performers is the Regina Rebels. National champions, 2-1 win Saturday over North York in the Esso Cup final. You heard there the goals from Berlin Lalaker and striker Zablocki, Hannah Tresick. The clip there made a save. She made 26 of them en route to the national championship win. Congratulations to everyone involved in the Regina Rebels organization.
So we had a chance to talk with Striker Zablocki just after 3 this afternoon. If you missed the conversation, it'll be on the podcast on Apple and Spotify. And we asked her, since you're a national champion and you just moved back home today to Prince Albert with a medal around your neck, do you still got to like unload the dishwasher and do chores? She's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't change a thing. Celebrity, you're a celebrity one moment, but then you get back home and nobody cares. Mom and dad are like, just get it done. We don't care.
And I really hope that they do something, you know, up in paradise there at PA Carlton for her, like a national champion medal. And I just love that she packs up today and heads back home, right? Class is transferred. She said she's back at class at PA Carlton tomorrow from Miller.
Oh, man. Did you call PA paradise?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't spell paradise without PA. Haven't you ever seen the t-shirts? Yeah. Saskatoon guys, it's actually like extra funny. I love it up there though, man. The Cook Municipal Golf Course
I do
is, like,
and I remember because I know when we'd be going as kids, we'd be going to Candle Lake and you always stopped at McDonald's in Prince Albert and then you kept trucking because we had a rule in our family, you don't stop the car ever, just for nothing. We don't stop to go to the bathroom. Now we can't go 45 minutes on a road trip down a highway without stopping at a bathroom somewhere because somebody has to go.
Yeah,
that's not how we grew up.
I don't stop at that McDonald's in PA. I'm not going to lie. All my drives through there. Maybe the co-op at the bottom of the hill to fill up, you know, if you need something, maybe a Slurpee. But yeah, no, it's a great up there in North Country. Okay, speaking of North Country, Flin Flon Bombers. Whew, the boys are buzzing. They've knocked off Melfort in 2 straight. And we got ourselves a series going back to the City of Northern Lights and the Northern Lights Palace in Melfort tomorrow. The original, as Bidwell and I talked about it last week, the original hockey rink swimming pool combo. When that thing was built in the late 80s, like it came from another planet.
I remember when Uncle Carl and Aunt Rose, he was the manager of the McLeod store, and they moved to Melfort.
Yes.
And I remember we would go visit them. And I'm like, that thing was such next level, out of the world. I'm like, wow, this, I would have thought you could have said New York City, Los Angeles, and Melfort, Saskatchewan,
yeah,
with the technology and the design work. And whoever the architect was has probably gone on to just prominent things and big projects in their career. But holy, and the Moose Leg came out on the weekend after the big win in Flin Flon. You saw it. And I don't know, Flin Flon looks like they're back. Maybe it was just a thing, but it looks like they're back.
So talk to Commish today, Kyle McIntyre. He's played and he's watched a lot of hockey. He said Saturday, and this is crazy because it's late in the playoffs, it was the fastest hockey game he's ever seen live. Like the Whitney Forum, they were going up and down. And that was the 5-2 Melfort win. So tomorrow night, I messaged Melfort's play-by-play guy to kind of get an idea on walk-up tickets again, standing room tickets, what's going on there. Hopefully we have an update for the Sports Cage listeners tomorrow. But that thing goes down tomorrow night, 7:30 in Melfort. And if you're not in the area and you don't have a ticket, then it's on SaskTel Max as well. They do a great job covering the games.
They do, and that's the beauty of streaming these days. Even like with the Western Hockey League, with the Eastern and Western Finals, I mean, it's one thing for us as fans to watch, but when you're a parent, like, you would have had to take in the games the old ways. You would have had to listen on the radio if you could before the internet. But then when the internet came along, well, at least you could listen to the play-by-play, where now you get a chance to see it. I would love to, if we ever get if you got a chance to put a camera on, like, the parents of the players in these high pressure situations, and how are they handling it? Like, I know that there's some parents that just can't bear to watch. Like, when the stakes are high, they'll be like, I'll be in the car or I'll be somewhere. Text me when it's over. I can't be here. But then there's the moms who are hanging over the chain smoke. And then there's the moms that are hanging over the glass, yelling at everybody. Doesn't matter, your kid, not your kid, referee, linesman, other parents, rink officials, Zamboni guy who probably didn't shovel the Zamboni drippings the right way. Like, she's up in everybody's grill. There's you get the wide spectrum of parents. And how old are your kids? Look how nerve-wracking it is when they're playing for something. Could you imagine playing for something like this, like the SJHL championship?
Oh yeah, no, it can be nerve-wracking. Oh, and this is big time, like you said. Also tomorrow night, it's sold out. I'm not sure if they're going to be releasing any more tickets. It was last night. Ice Cube was in the house, as the kids say. I don't think the kids really still say that. But great concert. Great throwback. You weren't an Ice Cube guy, though, were you?
No, I missed that. I'm older than you, so I totally missed it. Here's what I saw about the Ice Cube concert last night, and because it made social media. Two idiots on the floor fighting. I'm like, really? Like, you guys are 45, and you both got to work in the morning. What are you doing? Like, why would you... I don't know if they got thrown out, but, like, what are you doing? What was so intense that you're like, it's time to throw down?
It was a volatile situation in there. You could... Hell, we left with one song left because I kind of had a glimpse of the set list. So we're like, let's get out of here. But there, you know, by the end of the night, it's kind of like the bar back in the day when bars used to be a thing. There was the guys that you could always tell, and by the end of the night, after a few more mini pitchers of Ryan Coke, they were just looking for action. And that there was a few of those last night. Also, classic. And actually kind of kudos to this gentleman in the men's washroom vomiting in the sink. Just classic. He must have been, I would have had him in early 20s. Big Ice Cube concert in Moose Jaw. But then tomorrow night, they'd be practicing today. Off go the covers and everything that they had to put over top of the ice, because it is the Blades and Moose Jaw Warriors tomorrow night. I got to say, I watched the game on Saturday from Saskatoon. Overtime victory for the Saskatoon Blades, but it was a block by Vaughn Waterroot for the Blades that they come down 2-on-1 and Fraser Minton scores. That block shot, I think it was on Matejchuk as well from Moose Jaw. So the Blades needed that one, man. Imagine the city of Saskatoon going down. Oh, you're this close, and it's like, oh no, here we go again.
And I said last week when we were at the Regina Rams dinner, any of these games that are close like that, one goal, always favor Moose Jaw. House money, nothing to lose. The Blades have all the pressure on them to win, and I figured when they tie this up and Moose Jaw can score, and they can score from anywhere, and then they can score fast, and it doesn't look like the Blades are going to get the 2-3 goal leads, like to be up to 4-1. It looks like Moose Jaw's playing them tight, and as long as it stays tight, that's why I'm nervous. That's why I said Moose Jaw in 7, because if they play them tight, advantage to the Warriors, because there's nothing. There's no weight on their shoulders for them to pull this off.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I got a couple of on this day in histories to throw at you. Pretty interesting stuff. It is the all new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
Best rope. Don't miss a minute of the all new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Hey, Sports Cage listeners, remember Darian Durant coming up after 5 o'clock. We're going to run down his draft projections, or what teams need, according to Darian. So that's going to be a lot of fun after 5 o'clock. I teased this. I wanted to throw it at you. I like doing this day in history thing. So
fire away. I'm ready.
I went sports. 1986, Claude Lemieux. First rookie to score Game 7, an overtime winner. The Adams Division Game 7 against the Hartford Whalers. Claude Lemieux.
Montreal Canadiens. Yeah.
They were good. 86. What's his buddy, the Habs fan guy here who lights up our text line? He probably remembers that. Claude Lemieux goal.
Because they won the Cup in 86, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they won the Cup in 86.
Patrick Waugh came out of nowhere. Yeah,
Yeah, Brian Scrudlin was on that team. Did you know Brian Scrudlin's mom taught me elementary school? She taught grade me three or four. Yeah. And after that summer, he gave me an autographed stick and a picture of him and the whole team in the Stanley Cup.
He used the blue Sherwood. That's probably what he autographed. And you know why I know that? Because he coached Hunter's Hockey School. And I was a part of that, the Cosmos Civic Center in Saskatoon, and he absolutely despised me. I was the little, you know what, on the ice, and I got told to go stand in the corner by Brian Scrudlin on the ice. So there you go. His mom taught you, and he disciplined me.
And 41 years later, nothing has changed. It's Barney in the corner for different reasons, but he should know better at this point, right?
I knew you were going to say that.
Because you're teaching him. Next up, this day in sports.
Yeah, 1993, Dino Cicerelli. Anytime you can drop a Dino Cicerelli, becomes the first player in NHL history to have a hat trick in the playoffs for three different teams. What teams?
Minnesota North Stars would have to be one, right?
Yes.
Washington Capitals?
Good job.
And then who else did Cicerelli? Because 93, that was Leafs Kings.
This was the year. You're missing the team that he did it with in 93. They were a wagon.
Okay, but the Leafs and the Kings played for the Cup in 93, did they not?
Yes. Well, no. Yeah?
No.
94.
No, that was 94, so in 93. It wasn't the Canadians. He never played for the Canadians, did he?
He played.
No, who was it?
The Detroit Red Wings. Remember when he was with the Red Wings? They signed those older guys.
That's right.
Loved the older guys. So when I interviewed Aaron Miller again on the pod, he was a Black Ace one of the years that they won it. And he said, he got called up a few times, that it was a nothing game late in the season. And he got called up. And Dave Lewis leaned over to Scotty Bowman and was like, hey, put the kid in. Let him get it some time. And Scotty said, no. And he just didn't. Yeah. And then you look back, he always signed the older guys, right? Yeah. Some of the only rookies he ever played was I remember was Datsyuk and Zetterberg deep into the playoffs.
Here, I'll give you one. And as we wrap, as we go to the news, and don't forget Darian.
Don't give it all, though. Let me think about something.
No. I'll just quickly throw it out there. Do you know former Detroit Red Wing coach who's having a birthday today?
Mike Babcock?
Mike Babcock. He's having a birthday. Because the picture I saw online is when he had some serious flow going back in his McGill days. And I'm like, wow, he had a head of hair. Look at that.
Darian Durant coming up after 5 o'clock. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air for the millions of telephone users like yourselves. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. If you're just driving home from work, or maybe you're seating, a lot of guys, a lot of girls out there seating now. Thanks for making some time and hopping in here. The all-new Sports Cage. If you missed any of it earlier on, Strikers of Blocky from the Regina Rebels, the national champs, or maybe Farhan Lalji, Eric Francis, a nice conversation with him. You can always get it in podcast form as we release that later, just after this show is done. All right, Maz, now time for our second installment of Double Talk with Darian Durant, brought to you by Prairie Land Rentals. Whether it's for the farm or the backyard, they can help with all sizes of spring jobs. Prairie Land Rentals in Saskatchewan.
So, Darian, you were used to making the whole province of Saskatchewan talk with what you did on the football field, but in the past 7 days since you made your triumphant return to Rider Nation here on the Sports Cage on CKRM, everybody's talking. Darian's on the, and everybody, what they said is, I can't wait to hear Darian start talk some football. So, are you ready to talk some football?
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Okay, so here's what we tasked Darian with. CFL draft tomorrow. He's fantasy GM. what every team needs to be successful in 2024. We're going to run down all of the teams, and we're gonna wrap on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, because obviously, Darren, as you know, everybody wants to know your thoughts on the Riders.
Tough task. Okay. I would like to know how many man hours put into this over the week. That's a tough task for week number two, isn't it, Darian? Like, come on.
It is. You guys challenged me with this one, but I love football, so I was able to dig deep, and hopefully I have some good information for you.
Okay, so in no particular order of how bad I think the teams are, Ottawa Red Blacks, is there any hope for them in 2024, according to you, fantasy GM Darian Durant?
There is. I think Ottawa just had terrible luck with Masoli going down. As you guys know, quarterback is the most important position on the football team. And if you don't have your leader out there and a guy who has some experience and can make plays, sometimes it can cost you your season. So I think that Ottawa, they're in good hands. Coach Dice is a great coach. They just need their quarterback, Masoli, to stay healthy. I know to this year with some competition. But if he can stay healthy, I think he gives them a chance.
So is, you think, offensive line for the draft tomorrow? And I think that's going to be the common theme with maybe a lot of teams, but protect that quarterback? Or what are you thinking that they're looking for in the draft?
Well, that's definitely always a good way to go. But I think Ottawa could definitely use some depth at the receiver spot. You know, even though this draft is deep with offensive linemen, I think there's some good receivers out there, like a Kevin Mattel, who can help Ottawa right away and give them some Canadian depth.
All right, Hamilton Ticats with Bo Levi Mitchell is, I guess, back all in. What is Hamilton? They trust me, because after free agency last year, on paper, they were one of the best teams in the CFL. It didn't necessarily play. So what has Hamilton got to do this year to get things rolling?
I think it starts with Bo. I think it starts with Bo being healthy and being out there. You know, when you look at Hamilton, you know, besides Tim White, you really don't know of anybody else on the, you know, as a receiver. So I think that they can, they're another team that can go receiver and, you know, add to that depth. I know Naaman Roosevelt is out there as the receivers coach, so they're in good hands in that perspective as well. So if Bo can stay healthy and they get more depth at receiver, I think they'll be good.
Bo Levi Mitchell, boys, reminds me of like the guy that's been, it seems like he's been like Anze Kopitar on the Los Angeles Kings. Or I went to a basketball game with my wife once, and it was Carter that played for the Toronto Raptors.
Vince Carter.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, is that Vince Carter's son? And I'm like, no, that's still Vince Carter playing. It was like his last year. And it seems like just Bo has been around forever. All right. Toronto Argonauts, 16-2 last year. Solid. A lot of turmoil, shall we say, in the front office and with the team. What do you think they're going to go after on the draft?
Well, when you look at 16-2, you kind of ask yourself, where's the weakness? I mean, this is a loaded team.
Culture.
From top to bottom. but losing Curley Gittens, it could be a big deal for that team. I mean, he was very, very productive. And, you know, having a good Canadian receiver is kind of hard to replace. So I think they'll go receiver. I think you have to kind of you know, make up for the production that Curley Gittens gave you, and you have to do that with the receiver.
And it seemed like everybody, because Toronto, and you know this, you if you're successful, everybody is coming after your free agents, and they lost a few, but also to coaching staff wise, we happened to pick up a good one from there. And I don't necessarily know, and keep in mind, they got a great staff, but I don't necessarily know that you can just drop somebody in, brand new coordinators, and have instant success. You've been through a ton of coordinators. It takes time, even if a guy was an assistant. It does take time for the new message to come across, doesn't it?
It does. But I think with Ryan Dinwiddie, he comes from that Huffnagel tree that were out in Calgary. They, you know, they were used to a lot of turnover. Everyone was kind of pinching the coaching staff away from Calgary every single year because of the success that they had, right? So I think that with him being experienced in that nature, he's used to it, right? He'll be able to have someone step right in. He's a smart coach as well. He'll have his input on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't think that'll be much of a problem.
Grey Cup champion Montreal Alouettes, Cody Fajardo and Jason Moss going to try and run it back 2 years in a row. Do you think they got the magic? You think that lightning can strike twice?
We'll see. I think that they, you know, it's all about getting hot at the right time. And I think that, like you said, they struck a bottle of lightning at the perfect time. They got hot throughout the playoffs, and, you know, they went in Toronto and basically put a good whipping on them. So for them, I think they go all offensive line. I think they're aging a little bit up front. They have a couple guys that were my teammates back in Montreal, and Christian Matt and Philip Gags. So I think that, you know, they're with the age of those guys, they can start looking for some replacements and adding to that depth up front. They're another team that's loaded. They have good coaching, and, you know, you can never go wrong with adding depth to your offensive line.
It's the Western Pizza guest hotline, Darian Durant. It's the perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, and salads, the goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. The CFL draft is tomorrow. Sports Cage will be live at Mosaic Stadium, 3 till 6, for the draft party. We've got our Grey Cup champion quarterback, Darian Durant. He is playing fantasy GM, telling us what every team needs to be successful in 2024. And if you're just joining us, you haven't missed it. We're saving the Riders till last, but we're moving into the West Division. The Edmonton Eskimos. Now, hey, we can't laugh. They got us a couple of times. But what does the Elk need to do this year to get this thing back on the rails? Because that losing streak... That was terrible. Yeah. I mean, yeah, man, that's not good.
Well, first and foremost, they did an amazing job by addressing the quarterback position. You know, I'm a fan of Trey Ford, and I think he's an exciting player as well. But, you know, adding McLeod Bethel-Thompson into the system gives you that consistency throwing the ball that you need to be successful. It's all about moving the chains on second down and, you know, adding a quarterback who's done that, who's very accurate and can move the chains is important. So I think when you look at their receiving core with Kyron Moore and, you know, Eugene Lewis, I think they're set on that end. So on the defensive side, he loves athletic linebackers. There's a very athletic linebacker sitting at the top of the draft in Jeffrey Arku. I think he'll be a great pick for Edmonton, and he's definitely a ratio changer, and he'll be able to step in right away and play for Chris Jones. He loves athletic linebackers that can run sideline to sideline, and I think he fits them perfectly.
British Columbia Lions, also known as the BC Lions. You know what? They're doing a lot of good things. Good owner, right? Hosting the Grey Cup this year. What do you see them needing, and how do you see them shaking down, Darian?
Yeah, I think they could beef up front. I think that they need some help on the offensive line to protect Vernon Adams. You know, he sustained an injury last year. And, you know, in order to keep him upright, you need to beef up front as much as you can. So I can see them going offensive line. If not, I think there are some defensive backs out there that are pretty good that can also help BC on the back end. And, you know, you can always, with them losing some guys at receiver, I think that having Canadian depth in your backfield can allow you to play more Americans on the receiving end.
You mentioned it earlier, the Huffnagel tree. You just rinse and repeat. As people and coaches leave, you keep on replacing. So, and it's not a shock. There's been a lot of CFL drafts over the years. The Stamps will make a head-scratcher of a pick, and you're like, where did that guy come from? And then a few months later on the field, you'd be like, oh, man. So how is you, who's somebody, how can you get inside the mind of Huff if you're playing fantasy GM when Huff likes to go off the board and do things that not necessarily are conventional?
Right. It's so tough to predict which way they're going to go. You know, what you can say about that organization and Huff is that he does his research. And he really, really breaks down these players and their strengths and how they can contribute to their system. When I look at Calgary, I feel like they threw the ball way too much last year. They got away from their recipe for success, which is run the ball, and make sure you put yourself in manageable second and short situations. They're a team that always leans on their offensive line. They're one of the teams who, you know, year after year gives up the fewest sacks in the league. So I think they'll go offensive line. I think they'll get back to that old Calgary formula, which is run the ball, and run the ball some more. So I think that's the direction they go. They got away from that last year. And Jake Mayer had a ton of interceptions, a lot more than you're used to seeing from a Calgary quarterback. So I think they'll get back to that formula.
And it's funny because, well, it depends on what team you're cheering for. When the cameras would cut away to Dave Dickinson on the sideline after a lot of those interceptions, you're like, oh, Dave's mad. Yeah. If I'm Jake Mayer, I'd go stand at the other end of the bench. I may just go out to the other side of McMahon Stadium so I don't have to go walk past Dave, because Dave was not happy. I know we got to do this. We're chatting with Darian Durant. He's on with us every Monday, just after 5 o'clock on the Sports Cage. We're going through what every team needs in the CFL to be successful in 2024. Should we skip the next team, or should we just and if you mail this one in, so what do the Winnipeg Blue Bombers need to be successful next year? Yeah, I know you did your homework and we're going to be objective. Yeah. So Darian, fire away. What do they need to win the Grey Cup in 2024? What am I saying?
Well, they're right there. They have everything it takes to win. It's all about adding depth when it comes to the Blue Bombers. But what you can say is they have a couple guys that are getting up there in age on both lines, offensive and defensive. You look at Stanley Bryant, you look at on the defensive side, Jake Thomas and Willie Jefferson. Those guys are getting up there in age. So I think they stay in the trenches and either go offensive or defensive line. They have, even though offensive linemen are usually your guys that play the longest when it comes to, playing into your late 30s, I still think that it's about time to address the age up front. And also Patty Newfield, who's a good friend of mine. We all know that our days are going to come to an end at some point. And, I think they should address that depth up front.
All right. The moment we've all been waiting for. How many people in Rider Nation right now are just sitting, they went through the first eight teams. Okay. Darian Durant, for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to be successful in 2024, this is your expertise. Fire away. What do we need to get this thing back on the rails?
I know everyone is going to, they feel like I'm going to say we need offensive line. We need help up front. And I just don't think that. I think that when you bring in Yossi Hardrick over from Winnipeg, you bring in Ryan Scheviore from Calgary, who has a ton of experience. You have Philip Blake in the fold, who can play any position up front. And you also have one of my fellow Tar Heels, and Jordan Tucker, who we brought back towards the end of last year, who I feel like can contribute right away. I think we're set up front. And I think a lot of the problem up front came from, having a younger quarterback. When Trevor Harris was in there, he gets rid of the ball on time. He understands timing. He understands, when to pull the ball down and run. So, when you have a veteran guy, you can also help the offensive line out by getting rid of the ball or throwing the ball away. So I think Trevor would definitely help the offensive line, and that'll cut back on the sacks. It's all about opening up the run game, and I think you have, the tenacity and the nastiness to do that when you add, Yossi Hardrick up front. So I think we're fine up front. Now, defensively, I think that's where we need the most help, either defensive line or in the secondary. Bringing in Jameer Thurman at linebacker, he's an iron man. You don't have to worry about him. He'll hold that down, the linebacker position. But I think we should either go defensive line or defensive back. We struggled last year against the pass. I think if you look at, most of the Canadian DBs, you can put them in at safety. Maybe there's a guy out there, maybe like a Benjamin LeBros, who can come in and help on the defensive backfield. But I think you need more help on the defensive side of the ball than on the offensive side.
You bring up a good point, because I think it just came down about an hour ago that they could be starting the season without Jackson Ford, who underwent wrist surgery. So like you said, maybe a defensive back. Is anyone that jumps out that you see? When you look at defensive backs?
Yeah, I like Benjamin LeBrosse McGill. He's a guy that I feel you can plug and play. He has experience. He's made plays. And if you put him in position to be successful, I think he has the range to help out your DBs. You look at a guy like Nick Marshall, who can hold down and pretty much lock down one side of the field. You get you a safety that can help and roam and get over the top and make it tough on your quarterback, then you secure your defensive backfield. So I really like his game. I think he can really help. And if it's something that Jeremy O'Day feels like can help the team right away, I think he'll be a great pick.
So here's a couple of things. One, I think a lot of people are probably surprised that you said we're fine on offensive line. And I trust your opinion. You're like, no, we got the horses up front. It's all there.
Absolutely.
It's defense where we need help. And you know the best part about this, Darian, and you probably didn't realize that you said this, but I picked up on it, which makes me feel like we're doing the right thing. When you're talking, said we.
Yeah.
Because you are just as invested as we are. In Rider Nation. Oh,
absolutely.
Man.
This is home, and I care, and I want to see this team succeed by any means. So, I definitely feel a part of this.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
From the guys and the gals that are going to be drinking their weight in beer in Pill Country to Darian giving us his fantasy picks before the big draft tomorrow night. Hey, man, we love it. And thanks for blowing up our social media. If you want to follow Darian, it's on Twitter, at Darian Durant. And it's DarianDurant.com. That's the website. It's Double Talk with Darian Durant. What should we get you doing next? Actually, you know what? Here's what we got to do next week when we get you on. We're going to break down what everybody did on the draft.
Oh.
And then we're going to go from there.
Draft winners and losers.
It's early. I mean, we want to. There's a team out there we want to do, but. I had lunch with Luke last week, and we did talk about his casting in the Darian Durant movie. He didn't necessarily love who Barney and I thought should play him in the role. So we may dip into that.
Darian, right on. Have a good draft tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be watching it, and then we'll pick it up next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Right on. That's Double Talk with the legend Darian Durant, brought to you by Wolf Industries, your truck repair specialist in Grenfell, servicing all size of trucks and SGI accredited. It is the all-new Sports Cage. Time for a break on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage is brought to you by Busy Bee Doors. Busy Bee will repair or replace your residential or commercial garage door so you don't get stuck in or out. Catch the buzz. Busy Bee Doors, the garage door specialists. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Sports Cage listeners in Saskatchewan. Barney Shankaruk and Maz McFly here. You just heard, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You can download the podcast later. Darian Durant doing his homework on the CFL teams and how they shake down and what they need.
Yeah, we asked him to play fantasy GM and what everybody needs in the draft tomorrow. And I was surprised. He thinks the Rider, everybody thinks O-line, O-line. Uh-huh. And that's what I was wondering. I'm like, oh, the Rider's going to draft an O-lineman. Because, I mean, O-lineman, if you get a good one, like he talked about, like one of his, Patty Neufeld, that can be a 10, 12, 13-year type situation. Work out well.
And we had Bandy retiring. So a lot of people are thinking, oh, we got to get another O-lineman. Yeah, but that was some great insight and a nice defensive back. I like that idea.
Well, and the one thing is, though, he's talking about getting defensive guys that can step in and play right
plug
away
and, play, yeah.
and make an impact. If I was looking down the draft list, any of those guys that come, because the Laval Rouge Or, they don't always necessarily win the Vanier Cup every year, but they're always in the conversation. And basically, there's a lot of players just off that roster. And same with the UBC. There's certain football factories that if you know you're getting a guy from there, it's probably going to be a thing. One thing I would love, if somewhere along the way, and I don't know who this is, like a 6'2", 6'3"-ish, like a beefy 235, 240 Canadian linebacker, like a Cam Judge that can come in right away, play, and be a difference maker. If there's one free agent that we've lost over the years, well, there's two of them. Willie Jefferson, being an American, I'll take Willie Jefferson back on the Riders at any age, because I think you just, that height, just the specimen that he is, that it's just rare.
He's fun to watch.
Willie Jefferson at any age.
Fun to watch.
Oh, and he can change a game, because he's changed a lot of our games since he's become part of the Bombers. The one that's hurt the most over the past few years, and I like it for him as a person, I hate it as a Rider fan, Cam Judge not being part of this anymore. He's Canadian. He's a game breaker. He went to Toronto. He played great. He got so much better last year in Calgary as the season went on. If they could find something like that to add to the linebacking core, and if we could get like a stud on the D line, like look at Nathan Cherry from Huskies that the BC Lions up drafting. It's too bad he got hurt, but somebody like that would be great. So Darian thinks we need to go defense here in Rider Nation.
Yeah, no, and
he had mentioned the O-line is fine.
And he justified it.
The O-line's fine.
Yeah. So find out tomorrow as we are live at Mosaic Stadium for the CFL draft. Capital Ford Lincoln text line, Maz. Mike from Speedy Creek. I got to read this one. It's a little bit jumpy here. Mike might have been, you might want to go back and proofread this one, but I'm curious why the NFL draft is a bigger deal and more talked about than the CFL draft. It seems like the top, it says tip, but top 10 draft in the NFL seem like a sure thing. So I think he's saying that the top 10 players in the NFL draft are sure things.
Yeah,
not necessarily. You know, first round is usually pretty on point.
Pretty good. If anything, because a lot of jobs are invested in this, and this is why we feel bad for Nathan Rourke, and we covered this with Farhan Lalji, those players that are getting drafted in the first and second round will get every chance possible to make that football team. They'll be given every opportunity, no matter how many of the mistakes, because somebody said, no, we should go all in on this guy. That's when it turns more into the scouting staff, the coaching staff, and the egos, as opposed to necessarily raw talent as an undrafted free agent signing.
And if he's wondering why the NFL draft, I don't know, maybe it's just talk and bigger. Like, did you hear about the ratings for the NFL draft this year? It was like bigger than any other sports major playoff game. So the NBA final, the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. Baseball,
and they
that
had
was bigger.
They had 750,000 people attend over 3 days in downtown Detroit.
Yeah, I heard, I forget where Goodell, I think Goodell was on McAfee, and he was talking about how moving it from Radio City Music Hall basically told them, we got something else coming in. You tell the biggest brand and television show in the world, we got like a holiday show coming in. So they're like, all right, see you later. We'll take this thing on the road. And now it's a thing. And he said it's almost bigger and better. They have more people wanting to bid on the draft than the Super Bowl. Because think about it. All these cities where it's cold, you can't host the Super Bowl, but you can host the NFL draft.
Yeah, I probably paid more attention to the NFL draft last year because I think it was in Vegas and there was nothing on. So I'm like, well, I might as well watch this. And plus, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, like pre-COVID, I really got invested and took the time to learn all about American college football, about the conferences like the SEC and the ACC. And I really got into it. So then it's the continuation of seeing all of these guys that played for Alabama or Georgia or Mizzou or Washington or USC, whatever it was, and then on to the next, as opposed to just picking them up when they start their NFL careers to be like, oh, this is a rookie out of so-and-so. And like Brock Bowers, who got drafted from Georgia, that's going to Vegas.
Oh.
I love Raider fans because, like Raider fans, you're the eternal optimist that this year's going to be our year. Probably the best story out of the NFL draft, and he was by far one of the best defensive players in the CFL last year. Quantez Stiggers. And I don't know if you know this story. He played last year for Toronto. He was the rookie of the year. His story is unique because Quantez did not play any college football. He grew up, he was one of 13 kids. And
wow.
He went to a school in Atlanta called the Best Academy. He played football there. But then he got a scholarship to go to school at Lane College in Jackson, Tennessee. But then his dad passed away. He ended up dropping out of college before he had ever played a game. And then COVID came around, and then that canceled football and really screwed things up. Then his mom saw the fan-controlled football league. I remember when this came out. So it's arena football. I think it's 7-on-7, but the fans call the plays.
I've never heard about this in my life.
So I think I saw somewhere.
I don't know where I've been, under a rock or something. Is it still a thing?
So she, I guess so. So I guess she forged his signature and got him signed up. So he went and he played there. And then Josh Jenkins, offensive coordinator for the Toronto Argonauts, saw him and said, hey, you should try out for our team in the CFL. And he did, came in, balled out last year, rookie of the year. Got drafted in the fifth round over the weekend by the New York Jets.
Fan-controlled football is a dormant professional 7-on-7 indoor football league,
yeah,
that played two seasons, 2021 and 2022. Man, I missed this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he went 176th overall, fifth round pick of the New York Jets.
Yeah, because
I'd be okay with that. As long as Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, I'd be okay with being a New York Jet.
Alan here brings it up, and he's like, yeah, and he got drafted. And I'm like, how did he play in the CFL and then get drafted in the NFL? But you're saying because he didn't play any university ball. Interesting. Real interesting story.
Now that everybody in the CFL, there's all of these, and that's the one of the things that the league's trying to address is how do we build more continuity and get more fans involved with all of these players on these 1 year, maybe 2 year contracts. It allows them the freedom to move around wherever they want, and a lot of them have these escape clauses in, like, yes, I'm in, but if the chance to go to the NFL comes along, as we've seen with many people, including like Sam Emelis in the offseason, who ended up having some workouts, that they provide the players the flexibility so that they will come back. And it'll be interesting to see. Now, how often do fifth round draft picks ever end up cracking the roster on NFL clubs? That's the big question.
Yeah.
Hopefully the talent will show out, I guess. But the other thing too, and I love, if you've never looked at Names with Games podcast with Julian Edelman, that, and then his partner in crime, Tom Brady, because that's a sixth and what, a seventh round combination right there. Not everything is trash in those rounds. There's a lot of gems. Now, are they going to be turned out to be Edelman's and Brady's? No, but
Edelman,
you can't overlook them.
Edelman was a quarterback and a lacrosse guy. Unbelievable, right? Hey, get this.
Yeah.
In 1986, Auburn running back Bo Jackson, first pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't remember the Tampa Bay Bo. 1986.
That would have been it. That would have been it. Still in the, when they were wearing the orange, the guy with the
Buccaneer,
the knife in the mouth, the Buccaneer with the Buccaneer mask with the knife in the mouth. Yeah, the BoJ. I remember more vividly the Raider era Bo Jackson and the Kansas City Royal Bo Jackson. Much like I remember the Dallas Cowboy Deion Sanders era more than I remember the Atlanta Falcon or the San Francisco 49er. Hey, they're saying Shedeur Sanders, Deion's son, is going to be the number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
Really?
Yeah. Already projected number one.
I wonder how much he will make this year in NIL money.
I think I read somewhere that Shadur had last year alone. There was somebody pointed out something that was already worth $7 to $8 million, and that wasn't everything. Because there was different thing for vehicles, there was a different thing for endorsements, there was all of this stuff. But you got to think, now Dion said on the weekend he plans to be at Colorado for another 10 to 15 years. But if Shadur gets drafted number one overall, and one of these NFL owners, and they have more money than maybe some of them know what to do with, especially that David Tepper guy in Carolina.
Yeah.
that Dion would go to be with his kid. Because that's just the guy who he is.
Okay.
That's just the guy who he is.
This is why we don't remember the Bo Jackson Buccaneers thing. Because
it never got started, right?
Because he did the baseball thing. Now I remember. They offered him a $7.6 million 5-year contract in favor. He chose a $1.7 million 3-year contract with the Kansas City Royals. Then in the 87 draft, 183rd pick to the Los Angeles Raiders. You know, like back in our day, you're only like 4 years older than me. You didn't really get how impressive Bo Jackson and then later Deion Sanders, it was. Those guys played both professional sports.
And sometimes at the same time. It's like, because the seasons would overlap.
Yeah. Deion, like when they would the helicopter thing in the playoffs.
Yeah. And to go from one thing, whereas now, I mean, it's all they can do to train year-round to play that one sport, and you came in. And the thing is that with Dion and Bo, they were actually good at both.
Really good.
Like, they were better at one than the other, but they were actually good enough at both where they could actually do it. And I don't think you'll ever see a dual-sport athlete again. I just don't think it'll happen. Not on the level to major league sports like it was.
Yeah, it's well, nowadays they're making kids pick. You can't really even play. It's like academy this, academy that, playing football all year round, playing baseball all year round, playing hockey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, it is a time for a break. Brand new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Touchdown! The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage. Barney Shankaruk and Maz McFly here on this Monday. If you missed any of it, you can download the podcast later. We started the show by praising and being joined by new national champ, Stryker Zablocki from the Regina Rebels, who's now up in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. She moved back home today. Maz, you love it, don't you?
It's her off-season home. She's 16 or 17, so she just went back home. And now the hockey season's done. I play for this NHL team, but I summer in Kelowna or...
Muskoka.
Sometimes in Nashville. Yeah, or in Muskoka. I do this or... I like to summer in my winter house and vice versa. It's all one in the same.
She's, and she's got a full ride to Northeastern. Wow, what a hockey player. That second goal in that final. Pulled away from the defender like they were in two different leagues. I love it.
Now, you're a girl dad, hockey dad.
Yeah.
And when your daughter sees this kind of stuff, because we have girls, they do girly things. They're not into sports like yours are. Gotta think that's a great example to be pointing the kids in the right direction to be like, okay, that's you. Okay. This is why we get up early and stay late. Okay. This is what, if you want to be that, yeah, you're going to have to do what she does.
You got to shoot pucks. You push them to an extent, right? Like, I think there's some parents that are like, oh, I never push them. Or you talk to an NHL guy and it's like, oh, and I was never pushed. And I'm like, well, no, you got to have some sort of push or else it's just video games and bonbons. And then you might as well just throw, it's like, okay. But, you know, what is the goal too, right? And I said, I'm telling you, Gabby got to be the seventh skater for these Rebels back in November. These girls were so classy. The organization was so classy. I was blown away by the Regina Rebels and just how they did everything, how they embraced this little seventh skater. What an organization. And to win the national championship. Now Banner's going to be hanging in C6 right next to the tarps.
And so this, I told this story, this was a couple of months ago. Our daughter got a chance to when the Brier was in Calgary, she got a chance to walk out because she's a junior curler to walk out with the Northwest Territories. They took junior curlers from all across Western Canada and gave them a chance to be part of this, where you got to be affiliated, or much like the seven skater part of the team, carried the flag, came out, national anthem, got to warm up with them and do all of that. You plant enough of these seeds early.
Yeah.
All she talks about is curling and how she loves curling, and she wears that jacket all of the time. And it's this kind of stuff, and we forget as kids how big this stuff can be. And you never know what it's going to be, the thing that will trigger the kids or what they'll pick up on to be like, yeah. And that's the difference of, I want to do this, as opposed to just playing endless hours of iPad every day once they get home from school.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a bad parent and I allow that in this house, but from time to time it happens while I'm reloading the dishwasher. And now that's a callback to a story from earlier when we talked about, there, if there's two people in a family or in a household, one of you knows how to load the dishwasher properly, the other one just puts it in whatever and causes grief to people like me who has to reload it.
Oh, the stinky dishwasher. Because, like, yeah, we only run ours like twice a week. That's the
best. Oh, my God, Barney.
I know. I like doing dishes. I like old school. That's the uke in
if
me.
So a lot of people are like, hey, we should go mountain people. I'm like, I rode my bike as a kid growing up, my 5-speed, all over Saskatoon. I will never get on a bike again if I don't have to. And if I don't ever have to wash another dish again, it'll be too soon. Because growing up in a strict household where there was chores, and there was four of us kids, but we all had stuff to do, and there was no getting out of it, I'm good. I will put, if it can fit in a dishwasher, it's going in a dishwasher.
Really?
My mother-in-law is mortified sometimes when she'd be like, you're not going to, I'm like, for sure I'm putting that in. And I will run the dishwasher twice if it's caked on, because I'm not scrubbing it out in the sink. That's what growing up in a Ukrainian household in Saskatoon did to me. I'm like, nope, I am good.
My mom, speaking of Ukrainian household, she does not. The only time that thing ever runs is Christmas. It's the only, and we're, I'm always serious. I'm dead serious at mom's house. And the only thing that I'm worried about every time we run it at Christmas, it's like, this thing hasn't run in 12 months. Are the pipes broke? Like, someone better go downstairs and see if it starts leaking, because this thing has legit. And I'm serious, in the 25 years it's been in that house, it has probably been run 100 times. It's like, there was no use for us to get.
Not a word of a lie, we would run ours in a month at least 100 times. Sometimes, like I said, that thing will go 3 times a day.
People are wondering about the men's under 18 text message. Canada didn't play today at the men's under 18 hockey championships. They take on the pesky Kazakhstan squad tomorrow. So there's the ties to Saskatchewan in that. Reese Hamilton from Whitewood, Saskatchewan, plays with the Calgary Hitmen. Roger McQueen, I played with him against his dad, Scott. He plays for the Brandon Wheat Kings. He's from Saskatoon. And then Ryder Ritchie, the tie-in, he plays for the Prince Albert Raiders. So Canada's back on the ice there tomorrow.
And a lot of people I know are interested because TJ Ginla, obviously being Jerome's kid, rated to go top 10 in the NHL, had a great season for the Kelowna Rockets. Maybe tomorrow's the day where he goes off. And a lot of people that are like, oh, a lot of people are like, no, he's already better than the old man. He's put up better numbers than the old man. It'll be interesting to see. And then they say that the younger brother's even better.
Wow.
The family's got it. The family has got the gene.
Yeah, his dad played on some really good hockey teams in Kamloops, you know, where he was, like, those first few years, he was, like, third-line guy.
I know.
That Kamloops was so good. Sports Cage, we are at the draft tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium, but Thursday, we are live in Wilcox, Saskatchewan for It's a Hounds Thing Day, the big fundraiser. We're going to be setting up shop there, talking to some of the students, getting some questions. Students are going to ask questions, some of them, to our guests, who we're going to be joined by Jaden Schwartz, Gary Lehman, Barry Trotz, hopefully, and Wendell Clark. So that's really good. And people can donate now because they're trying to raise money for the college, right?
Yeah, it's donate.notredame.ca. One of the things that and it's so funny. So if you follow, and I've been a Wendell Clark fan like a lot of us from when there was Notre Dame. But then, you know, when he became a Saskatoon Blade and then went on to be, and keep in mind, look how different the NHL was back then. And he was, it was a man's game. game, and he was the man stepping into a man's game. And then you just watch the Wendell Clark. Like I said, every Rock'em Sock'em tape in the 80s and 90s there. I mean, it's a Wendell Clark. But one of the things I want to ask is, if you follow him on Twitter, he's involved in everything. There's not a charity that he doesn't touch. And he's a businessman. And one of the things I want to ask him about, who said, Wendell, we're going to put your name on a restaurant chain. And let's go do this, and let's make this big. We're going to make you a restaurateur and a star. And it's not that he didn't need it to, because in Saskatchewan, he's still revered as the as that fearless guy. Oh. And you think of, speaking of guys playing on, again, like he played on great Kamloops teams. Look how good Jerome McGinley was playing on a lot of bad Calgary Flames teams for a lot of years. Could you imagine Wendell if he would have been playing? Because there was a lot of bad Leafs teams that he played on. What his legacy could you imagine so
it's gonna be
that's
fun.
Great, looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. And the best part is there are some students that are there that we may not know them now, but when you see some of the alumni, and we mentioned those names, but then you look at tonight behind the bench in Tampa Bay, or in Miami, John Cooper. You know, yesterday, Rod the Bod, Rod Brindmore. We don't know them now, but what are they going to go on to do? Yeah. Jaden Schwartz, another one. Stanley Cup champion with the St. Louis Blues. So, the list is it's a Houndsthing Day, the Sports Cage Live.
The list is long. We'll go through it all on Thursday. If you missed any of today, Stryker Zablocki, Farhan Lalji, Eric Francis, Darian Durant. If you missed any of it, you can download the podcast later and check it out. For Maz McFly and for our man, Alan, Barney Shinkaruk saying, we'll talk to you tomorrow.